desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you may be in the great cosmos, at whatever time zone, wherever, even above. This is Coast to Coast AM, covering all of that space and time. I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. A couple of things to hit you with at the beginning of the program. Lighter things. Number one, on my website tonight, more of those photos, beginning with kitten in a glass. An entire kitten is in a glass in this photo, and its little nose is even down below the line of the glass. It's pretty amazing. Jim Heron sent that in. And then a variety of really cool photographs outlining the present state of American life will then be seen below it. Some really good stuff. So that's at artbell.com tonight. It's entitled, what is it called? More fun photos. More October fun photos. So you're going to want to see that. People send them to me and I can't resist. Keep them coming, by the way. I'm Art Bell at Mindspring.com. If you would like to send along something or another, Art Bell at Mindspring.com or Art Bell at AOL.com. Now, today, well, tomorrow, this time zone, is our Harvest Festival. I mean, it really gets in high gear on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm reminding you that we'll be out there. I will be out there. Somebody may have to prop me up with a stick. But I'm going to be out there for some period of time anyway. Carnival opens at noon to actually at 10 o'clock. It all begins with a parade. We have a really cool parade here in Pahrump. Then a variety of things, including this. They're going to have a sexy legs contest. I'm looking at this thing. They're going to have a sexy legs contest. Men and women. Let's see. Deep Pit Bar, our barbecue. We have barbecue beef out here. They have these giant holes they dig in for days and days and days. They barbecue this beef, and in all your life, you may not all be meat eaters, but I'm telling you, even if you're a casual meat eater, this meat is like the best in the world. We get extra and freeze it and stuff, and I don't know why I'm mentioning this, because now I'm afraid there won't be any extra. We always get it every year, though. God, it's good. Oh, my God. How can you miss events like Donna's Pot Throwing? Donna's Pot Throwing. And all kinds of really cool stuff. You know, bands are out there, and they've got a carnival out there that you just can't beat. I mean, if you remember going to this stuff when you were a kid, you know, the rides and everything, they've got really good ones out there. So anyway, that's happening. That's a big event in our little town of Pahrump, Nevada, and I will be out there for some period of time at the KMYE booth. Speaking of radio stations, welcome to a new one, KUMA, KUMA in Pendleton, Oregon, 1290 on the dial, 5,000 watts. The operations director, Matthew Richards. Thank you, Matthew. Prepare everybody in Pendleton. I bet they've never heard anything like this up in Pendleton. Whatever it is, this is. News of the day, John Walker Lind cheerfully getting sentenced to his 20 years in prison. Someone told one young, the young Californian, a person told him, you were willing to give your life for the Taliban, but not for your country. Good point. So he's gone, 20 years. Hailing a defining day in the fight against terrorism. Do we have those? Attorney General John Ashcroft announced the arrest of four people in Oregon and Michigan on Friday on charges of conspiring to wage war on the U.S. and support Al-Qaeda. Oh, my God, up in Oregon. So now it's what? Buffalo and... Gosh, they're starting to find these little cells all over the place, aren't they? Secretary of State Colin Powell forged an agreement Friday with the chief U.N. weapons inspector to defer searching for illicit arms in Iraq until tough new rules are imposed. Rules that I would imagine Powell and others, wink, wink, nod, nod, hope will never be agreed to. Then I have a war, you know. A D.C. shooting linked to Maryland deaths. Remember the people getting just shot by a sniper? Police linked a sixth death now to the sniper killings of five Maryland residents. The same high-powered rifles. So, you know, obviously, yesterday they were saying police weren't sure they're related, you know. Good God, five or six people get popped by a sniper, and you can pretty well imagine they're related. Iraq is making new biological and chemical weapons and could have a nuclear weapon by 2010. So you don't worry as much about the nuke. But the fact that they've got biological weapons well underway right now, that's the one that scares me. The nuclear thing, well, you know, it would be real bad for any specific region, but it wouldn't be more than that. You know, they might muster one or two up and that's it, and maybe in, you know, however many years. But the biologicals, I think they're much worse. The little things that we were talking about last night, you let the little things go, and poof, you know, an entire continent can disappear. Witness what's going on in Africa right now. An entire continent is virtually disappearing. This is going to sound kind of familiar to you. A remarkable change in the waters. This is, by the way, so that you know, a Canadian newspaper, the National Post, Friday, October 4th, story. A remarkable change in the waters of the North Atlantic have thrown what one leading oceanographer is calling a curveball into thinking that the planet is going to gradually warm due to greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Instead, there is a real possibility that global warming may soon trigger the sudden onset of an ice age that could last hundreds of years. In just the past year, we've seen ominous signs that we may be headed toward a potentially dangerous threshold, according to Dr. Robert Gagosian, president and director of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, Massachusetts. Very prestigious organization, right, folks? If we cross it, this threshold, Earth's climate could switch gears and jump very rapidly, not gradually, into a completely different mode of operation. Gagosian bases his comments on a growing body of evidence that significant changes are underway now in the North Atlantic, threatening the ocean current that moderates temperatures in northern climates. Without it, London, which is almost as far north as Edmonton, would have much longer, colder winters. Prince Edward Island potatoes would be a thing of the past. Talk that climate change might one day trigger the sudden onset of an ice age is not new, but Gagosian believes there's a new urgency warning that changes could occur in our lifetime. And once they begin, the cooling would be rapid, reducing temperatures by several degrees Celsius over much of the U.S., Canada, Europe, within a decade. He warns rivers, harbors, and shipping lanes would freeze much earlier. Transportation, agriculture, and fishing disrupted. In short, the world and the world's economy would be drastically different, Gagosian says. Now, these controversial predictions that he's been making in speeches and pulls it on the Woods Hole website are based largely on information garnered from the North Atlantic, where the water is becoming fresher. In other words, normally we've got salt water out there, right? Well, it's getting fresher and sinking more slowly. At the Federal Bedford Institute of Oceanography in Nova Scotia, Igor Yashkaf and his colleagues in Britain, the U.S., and Germany have found the entire water column of the Labrador Sea has undergone radical change over the past 3 to 4 decades. Data collected during annual spring trips, of course, across the Labrador Sea and in waters between Greenland, Iceland, and Europe show the North Atlantic at depths of up to 4,000 meters have become less salty, especially in the last decade. Scientists aren't sure where all the fresh water is coming from, but they suspect much of it is coming from the Arctic, where ice has been melting and thinning at an unusually high rate. Gagosian and his colleagues say the flood of fresh water could shut down the so-called Great Ocean Conveyor, the ocean's main heat circulation system. It drives the Gulf Stream that carries heat from the tropics north. By the time water from the Gulf Stream reaches the Labrador and Greenland areas, it's so cool and dense, it sinks into the deep ocean, creating a void that pulls more warm tropical waters north. Fresh water is more buoyant, thus able to sink. Scientists worry that fresher water flowing into the North Atlantic could slow the Gulf Stream or even push it south or even worse, shut the conveyor system down completely. Already surface water in Greenland Sea is sinking right now, folks, 20% more slowly than in the 1970s, according to evidence gathered by European scientists. This decreased salinity is arguably the biggest and most dramatic change in ocean property that has ever been measured in the global ocean. At what percent will the ocean's conveyors stop? 25? 40? 60? It's not like a dimmer switch, but more like a light switch. It probably goes from on to off, he says. I could go on, but I think you get the picture, right? The entire Earth's global climate would change like that, like the toss of a switch. Pretty familiar stuff, isn't it? Stuff, of course, of the book that I wrote with Whitley Strieber called The Coming Global Superstorm, which right now, folks, by the way, Roland Emmerich, the fellow who made Independence Day, remember Independence Day? He's making our book into a movie. Well, Emmerich, pretty good guy to be doing it. So that's ongoing. The movie is ongoing. It'll be pretty interesting, but is it not interesting in a way? Can you not imagine how interesting it is for me? Let me put it that way. To have written a book, which, you know, admittedly, at the time that we wrote it, was a mixture of science and science fiction, but based on projections of the way things that we saw that were going. In other words, you write a book like that, and you project based on what you see, and then you add to it dramatically, of course. But can you imagine how odd it is to live the beginning of it actually happening? Isn't that what this story just said? It is pretty weird. Pretty weird. All right, back to it we go. This is interesting because there's a little bit of history with me and this stuff. People have said to me for a long time that a colloidal silver will fix you up, you know, whatever ill you have up to, and probably including my back trouble. You just take this stuff and it'll fix it. Actually, others say it's just, you know, a replacement for the psyllins or whatever. And I tried it myself because I always catch cold when I go on a plane, and somebody sent me some of the stuff and I tried it. And I caught the worst cold, the worst flu that I'd had in a whole long time, so I didn't think that it worked. Montana's Libertarian candidate for Senate has apparently turned blue from drinking a silver solution that he believed would protect him from the disease. Stan Jones, 63-year-old business consultant, part-time college instructor, said he began taking colloidal silver in 1999, something about Y2K disruptions, and, you know, he might not be able to get an antibiotic, so he just did it to be safe. He made his own concoctions by electrically charging a couple of silver wires in a glass of water. Well, his skin began turning blue-gray about a year ago. People ask me if it's permanent, and they ask me if I'm dead, he said. I tell them I'm practicing for Halloween. So he's blue and gray. Now, he's stopped taking the supplement, but his skin condition is permanent. Condition is not generally thought of as serious, except, of course, by the people that have turned blue or gray. Now, I had no idea until I read this, but that was a possible symptom of, you know, taking this stuff. But I guess it is. Speaking of symptoms, here's another one. Polar bears, Arctic foxes and Inuit people are under threat from man-made toxins, PCBs, that build up in the food chain, according to new research. And the PCBs are leading to, this is a new one, gender bender polar bears in Norway and Greenland. They have discovered a number of female bears which had both male and female sex organs. The Inuit in Greenland and Canada have among the world's highest exposures to certain toxic chemicals as a result of long-range transport. Now, let's dissect that line a little bit. As a result, let's see, they've got exposure to certain toxic chemicals as a result of long-range transport. Oh, now, what could they mean there? That would be jets, right? Which are consistently flying, zoom, 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 back and forth over their areas between one part of the globe and another. Here in Europe, right? A lot of high altitude flying there. And so they get these PCBs, and look what it's doing. It's beginning to birth animals that are both sexes. Now, you'll recall the canary in the mine story, of course, right? Miners used to take canaries in cages down into the mine. And when the mine was beginning to run out of air, the little canary would go on its back with all fours in the air, and you would know, hey, time to go find air. And that's how you would know that you're about to die if you continue on as you are. Well, it seems to me this is a canary on its back with all fours in the air for all of us. Something to think about. We're going to go to phones here in a minute. Just one more little item. Bush administration is considering a daunting decision to vaccinate the entire country against smallpox before an attack occurs. This is coming from the Charlotte, North Carolina Observer. Can you imagine that? They really are actually right now actively considering perhaps inoculating the entire nation against smallpox. Now, to me, in my way of thinking, they would never in 5 billion years, never, never, never do that unless they had really, really hard information that our enemy absolutely has smallpox, prepared to go, and probably has the intent to release, you know, actually do the release smallpox. I mean, just knowing our government, and I don't claim to know our government intimately, you know, I participated in it in the Air Force. But I mean, just sort of a general knowledge of the government, it seems to me, says to me that they would never spend that much money. They would never do that kind of mass thing, you know, with its possible consequences. I mean, everything you take, like, you know, smallpox vaccination probably has side effects. You know, for perhaps a significant percentage of the population, some might even die. That's what happens with these things. So that's one hell of a decision to make. And I just don't think they'd make it unless they were aware that they've already got this stuff and that they're apparently planning on releasing it. Now, does that line of reasoning make sense? I think it does. I'm Art Bell. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM, raging through the nighttime. Open lines coming up next. If you've got something you want to get on the air, now's the time. Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want to be abused. we're about to rock with open lines. Here are the numbers.
Call Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Headed through the night like a freight train. How y'all doing? We'll be right back with Open Line. All right, here we go. Open lines. Anything you want to talk about is absolutely fair game. And so away we go. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Chris.
Yes, Chris. Where are you?
I'm talking to you from the high desert of southeast Idaho.
Southeast Idaho. All right.
And I'm listening to you on, I believe, 1240 KSEI.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
I had a great experience tonight.
Uh-oh.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah.
And I had a great experience tonight.
What was it?
I recently broke up with my girlfriend.
That couldn't have been too great.
No, actually.
Maybe it was. I mean,
everything works out the way it should work out.
If it's appropriate, congratulations.
Yeah.
Continue, sir.
But I want to tell you a ghost story, but because I've had like five experiences with ghosts, but I met a girl last weekend named Mariah last Friday night.
Mariah,
I started thinking about this name.
Really?
And
let me give you a quote. I know a Mariah. Mariah Carey, right?
No.
You know what Mariah Carey said?
No, don't even go there.
Do you know what she said though?
What?
She said, quote, whenever I watch TV, allegedly, whenever I watch TV and see those poor starving kids all over the world, I can't help but cry. I mean, I'd love to be skinny like that, but not with all those flies and death and stuff.
Oh, well, the kicker is that about 6 years ago, I dated a girl named Mariah.
Yeah.
And I lived with her for 2 years.
And the point being?
I never saw her. Never saw her again.
She just...
I ran into a girl named Mariah. All week long, I've been in debate of, no, don't get involved with this girl.
You
came out of a relationship.
Ah, go ahead.
And tonight, I ran into the girl I hadn't seen for years, Mariah, I'd lived with.
The original Mariah?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because I'd been thinking about her.
What are the odds?
All week long.
You think you brought her to you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And
with just the power of your mind.
Yes.
I think I'm grasping it here, yes.
And she walked in, and I didn't even see her. And I'm shooting pool, and I bump into this girl.
No, wait a minute now. If you're shooting pool, how are you concentrating on magneting Mariah back to you?
Well, because I didn't want to go and see this other Mariah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd put it out of my mind.
But still, probably the other Mariah was down there in your subconscious somewhere.
I kept thinking of Mariah.
Yes.
And I hadn't seen her for years.
And there she was.
I bump up next to a girl.
And it's Mariah.
I turn around, and I said, oh, excuse me. And here's the Mariah I had lived with for 2 years.
And the moral to this story is?
Mind over matter.
Are you calling Mariah matter? I you know, there are women who really object to that sort of thing. Really object to it. Eastern Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art?
Yes.
I'm against this war with Iraq.
Oh, you are? Why?
Yes, sir, because I think it could ignite the whole Middle East. It could possibly even start World War III.
It could do all of that. It could do all of that. And nobody would dispute that with you. But then on the other hand, what if it's true that they have bugs that will kill us, and they're working actively on that, and they will release them and try to kill all Americans. Now, I mean, gee, what do you do about that?
Well, Israel has a lot of nukes and everything. No one's putting pressure on them.
What does that have to do with what I just said?
Because the
I'm saying if they have, if they're making stuff to kill us, and they have the intent to kill us, you know, they will do it. Then what would you do?
Well, how do you know we're not? How do you know that the United States is not planning to commit genocide against the Iraqi people? And what is just or right about that?
I just heard you're about, and you're either in New England or in Canada. More likely in Canada, right?
No, sir. I'm in District Heights, Maryland. I do have a slight accent.
You do? I mean, you must be from Canada or somehow.
No, my mother was born in England.
In England. Well, you said a boot.
Well, whatever. But
come on now. Hit me square on with an honest answer to my question. There's significant, even perhaps overwhelming evidence. They're brewing bugs to kill us all over here, and they will use them. And I'm asking you honestly what you would do about that. Now, can you give me an answer to that or not?
What I would do is apologize to the Iraqi people for what we did to them during the Gulf War, because hundreds of thousands of Iraqis were murdered, civilians.
That was a war, though, right? I mean, was a war.
We had no right to get ourselves involved in it.
You don't think so? In other words, even though they had taken over Kuwait by force and they were massing to go into Saudi Arabia, and they were going to go romping across the Middle East, no reason to get involved.
See, Kuwait was originally part of Iraq.
All right, sir. I thank you very much, and you can report back. You got the information on the air. I don't think you can report that you had much of an effect, at least not on me. That was kind of a disingenuous answer. I think based on the evidence, they are brewing things to kill us over there, and they are going to use them. And so you just simply didn't answer that question. Well, you did. You said, well, I'd apologize to Iraq. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Well, it figures that you would have an apologist for the Iraqi murderers on your program, Mr. Bell, especially a Canadian.
What has happened to you? First, let me ask you a question before we go any further at all. It's obvious to me you are on a stinking cell phone. You have moved down in the world. You used to sound loud and clear, and now you're on a cell
phone.
You, who preach against technology, you have a cell phone stuck to your ear right now, don't you?
I have a cell phone. I've got one because I know how much it bothers you, Mr. Bell. I had to get one because you continue to block my number. And it's time we had it out, Mr. Bell.
I do not block your number.
Yes, you did.
Oh, but that I could. And I'll tell you something else about your cell phone. When you yell, it's very ineffective. It distorts.
Well, let me speak in a calmer voice then, because
that'll be
a
pleasure.
Was not yelling. I was bringing forth the love of the new revelation. And we are entering a time, Mr. Bell.
Yes.
The end time.
Yes,
now.
Well, it, yeah,
the
we
clock
do agree.
Ticks 1 minute to midnight. We must embrace, and you see, you have never allowed me to bring forth the new revelation in a proper manner.
Bring it forth, brother, bring it forth.
God speaks directly to my heart and gives me the new commandments, and he has told me about your evil alliance.
Now, wait a minute, hold on. Now, there's new commandments.
The new commandments.
All right, hold it. What are the new commandments? That's important.
Let me begin.
Please.
With the new commandments.
Please.
First of all, thou shalt not fornicate. Thou shalt not listen to rock and roll music. Thou shalt not masturbate.
Thou shalt not
do drugs. Excuse me?
No masturbation.
Masturbation is the greatest and most stingiest of all sins. It is the root of all destruction of America. And it is, you know that I work against the media. I work against the media, Mr. Bell, which has been, listen, I know that God has shown me the documents drawn up in the Soviet Union, television scripts, programs designed to subvert America in the coming war. This is by the Soviet Union, who exists.
No, the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore.
You see, you are a sucker, Mr. Bell, because you have been suckered. But you had a mouthpiece for the Soviet Union and the Red Canadian Alliance.
And the Canadian Alliance.
You want to let me to have my say? You won't allow me to speak.
Yes, I will. Are you saying the Canadians are allied with the Soviets who don't exist against us now?
Look at the Canadian flag. What is on the Canadian flag?
A maple leaf.
No, it's a pot leaf.
It's a what?
It's a pot leaf.
A pot leaf?
Well, you are the virtual sounding board for marijuana's virtues. Don't you know that the demon weed is what seduces our young people into the world of drugs and sex and pornography? And it is a strategy put forth by the Soviet English Alliance.
You really believe this, huh?
100%. Art Mail.
I don't think so. You're speaking all kinds of pieces right now, and I just can't honestly believe that you believe this stuff.
Listen, Mr. Bell, the time has come, a reckoning time, a time when all the mighty buildings shall be shattered and splintered and split, when the world's bellies will bloat, when America will be put to the fire and tested in the new revelation, and either we will stand against pornography.
When the world's bellies will bloat. Now, that requires a little definition. What do you mean by that? The world's bellies.
God is going to take away the food. God is going to take away the prosperity of America.
I just wanted to know. That's bloated as in starvation, right?
As in starvation. You doubt me because you doubt the validity of the love of the Lord. And you listen to me and you listen to me good, Mr. Bell.
You're overloading your cell phone again.
Listen to me, Mr. Bell. The time has come. It is now or never. This country produces 90% of the world's pornography. We are awash in pornography, Mr. Bell.
I didn't think that was true. I mean, we do produce the majority of a lot of things, but I don't think pornography...
Yes, we do.
I don't know about that.
You and all your deniers. You know, when people deny the Holocaust, they are ridiculed. But when people deny the fact that Al-Qaeda has been destroying American children, they have a plan to kill American babies. You know what that plan is called?
What?
Planned Parenthood. They've been killing American babies for years.
All right, that's it for tonight. Now he gets through on a cell phone. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I hadn't heard those commandments. I really hadn't heard those commandments before. Somebody should put them to tablet at the very least. We'll put it on the website. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Do
you hear those commandments?
Those were some mighty fine commandments.
Were they? Are you clear? I mean, are you going to make it straight to heaven, those newer commandments in mind?
Well, I don't know. That musical one might get me.
What's up, sir?
I've got this device here.
Yeah?
It's an assassin's weapon. It's used to insert biological agents into the skin of a victim without their knowing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you have that?
I'm working to publicize its existence.
Tell me about it.
You take a couple of sheets of plastic 1 inch long and flatten out the lead pellet of a pellet gun.
You know what? Maybe you better not tell me about it on second thought, because it sounds like you really do apparently have something. I mean, what?
Well, I don't have to tell you how to make one.
Yeah, but I don't.
But my point in telling you how to make one is to prove that it exists.
Yeah.
And that's really the key here. I really want to make it crystal clear.
Well, you know, I never doubted it. I mean, there are those who are going to attack us with germs. We know it's coming. It's duh.
Well, okay, the thing is, handgun statistics, crime statistics, tell us that when there is a weapon present, the people most likely to be killed are the people closest to the people with the weapons.
That makes sense.
So if we have weapons that cause death by apparently natural means,
yeah,
the people closest to the people who have those weapons should have an increased rate of death by natural means, especially their spouse or ex-spouse.
All right. I would like to understand the larger point that you're trying to make here. I mean,
well, that's what I'm getting to.
Yeah.
If we have this higher rate, that presents the possibility of proving that these people are being murdered if they are consistently dying at a higher rate.
There have been an apparent higher rate of deaths of men involved in biological warfare research. You're aware of that?
No, I haven't looked into that.
Really? You should look into that, sir. There have been a lot of very suspicious deaths of people involved in biological research. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello. No, now you're on the air. Hello.
Wild card line.
Yes, that would be you, sir. Where are you?
Art Bell.
No, that's me.
Yes, Art Bell, I am in the great Midwest.
Okay.
I am loving the Open Line Friday.
All right.
And I was wondering if you could delve into what the gentleman last night was discussing with the fungi, because unfortunately I missed that portion of the show, if that would not be too redundant.
And on what subject?
The fungi.
Fungi. Well, tonight's guest wouldn't know a thing about fungi.
Last night, yes.
Fungi, actually.
Fungi, yes.
I guess
yes.
Fungi, yeah. Yeah, he's not going to know anything about that. This is a guy that's going to fly solo track, if you know what that is, a little one-person helicopter, to go down. He's going to find the hole reported by Admiral Byrd into the earth and fly himself as an expedition into the hole in the earth and perhaps go toward the center of the earth. Now, he may find some fungi down there, but, I mean, he has no knowledge that I know of about it right now. See, so that's what we're going to be working toward tonight. I don't have a lot of time here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
I've noticed a few of your callers are experimenting with the new grain alcohol IV drip. I just want to know a few little bit more about these people that see these people with the they look like negatives of photos that they're not human beings or like aliens that are mixed in with human beings. I want to know where I could learn some more about this. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You're really, it sounds like you're talking about the shadow people, what we call the shadow people.
No, it's
Yeah, it does. It does. They are said to mix in with us. You obviously didn't hear the show last night, did you?
I heard parts of it.
Parts of it. Okay,
parts.
Well, you missed that part. Yeah, I think that we're describing the shadow people here. These are creatures of ill-defined creatures. We don't know much about them. They sort of, live in the corner of your eye in just a flash, something you barely catch. Very occasionally you see them full on, and we've named them, for lack of a better thing, the shadow people. But they could easily be alien in nature. And so I think that's what you're talking about. These creatures, they come and go. And I guess they're part of us. I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. This is going to be... Dallas Thompson is next.
to Richard Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may Richard at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To Richard on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
It certainly is. Good morning, everybody. This should be extremely interesting. Coming up in a moment is Dallas Thompson. And Dallas Thompson is going to follow Admiral Byrd's lead, and he's going to find a hole up in the North Pole. And he's going to descend into it in a personal craft. I'll tell you more in a moment. All right, here we go. This is bound to be interesting. May 24th, 2003, Dallas Thompson and a crew from an L.A. film production company will, in fact, begin an expedition to the North Pole to find the hole reported by Admiral Byrd. That'll be May 24th, 2003. So that's coming up pretty quick now, along with an L.A. film crew going to the North Pole. Holy mackerel. Once the hole is found, Dallas plans on flying into the hole using a solo trek helicopter. We're going to have to learn more about that. He hopes to meet the intelligent beings from within the Earth and discover the crystal cities of Shambhala, reported to exist inside the planet by many tribes of old. Dallas studied under a Hawaiian kahuna. The kahuna, also known as a shaman, was a very powerful man, taught Dallas the ancient ways of the Hawaiian shaman. Dallas was granted the divine opportunity to hold the Hawaiian elder's sacred talking rock. Several moons later, Dallas Thompson had a life-changing NDE, near-death experience, during his horrific car accident. His car flew off a 250-foot cliff backwards, going 70 miles per hour. He experienced a grand tour of our beautiful universe, and he witnessed visions from the past and visions about our future shift on planet Earth. Well, we will have a very great deal of ground to cover with Dallas Thompson. After reading just that, Dallas, welcome to the program.
Hi, Art. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Where are you, Dallas?
We are located in Bakersfield.
We?
I.
Oh, okay.
I am.
You are in Bakersfield,
right? Yes, correct.
Well, gee, Dallas, you really are honestly set on the 24th of May to go looking for the North Pole, the hole, I guess, reported at the North Pole by Admiral Byrd. Is that really true?
That is true. Actually, the whole process has been an awakening within that started when I was a young child. I'm really excited about what we have going on. As it became more clear to me about what would be going on and what we're going to encounter, I began to realize we're going to have a pole shift. And that's with the inception of the solo trek. That's how it actually started. I brought it up with a few friends of mine.
We're going to have a pole shift. But if you, it seems to me that if there is a pole shift, one of the poorest places you could possibly be would be at the pole. Or is
actually,
is that wrong?
Actually, the pole, the hole itself is actually dimensional. So it is a portal. The energy entrance basically would act as a shield because inside there's an inner atmosphere. And the inner atmosphere is a firmament.
No, wait a minute. You're already confusing me, Dallas. You're going to go to look for a hole, right?
Right.
A real hole.
Yes, a real hole.
A real hole. The one that, and in fact, it was true that Admiral Byrd reported a hole at the North Pole.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I believe that Admiral Byrd did fly through the hole, and that would be documented. But the hole itself is actually a dimensional realm.
It's both. Are you saying then that it is both? It is a dimensional
portal.
Portal,
exactly.
And it's an actual physical hole as well?
Exactly, that merges into a higher vibration and frequency. That is a higher dimension. So time becomes now.
Time becomes...
There's basically a different time frame. Human beings in the Hollow Earth could actually live up to 800, 1200, 1700 years old because of the firmament atmosphere that keeps them protected from ultraviolet rays and infrared, cosmic rays, and
gamma
rays.
Like, that would be like biblical humans, Dallas.
Well, we actually did have a firmament around Mother Earth in the beginning, in the biblical day. It was actually beautiful. You could look up upon it, and it would act like a telescopic lens because it was actually water that had frozen over. And it would pull in the planetary systems and celestial readings.
How old are you, Dallas?
I'm actually 31.
31. And
old spirit in a young body.
Yeah.
And that firmament melted, by the way, and that's what caused the flood.
Before Dallas, you decided on this expedition. What were you doing in life? I mean, I want to understand somehow how you got from whatever you were doing in life to going to the North Pole to descend into a hole.
Well, actually, it's been a process. It started from being a young child. I learned to remove myself, kind of step outside of the aquarium.
Right. No.
Watch the process.
Listen.
The process and
bear with me for a second, Dallas. What were you doing before? Not so much as a child, but before you made this decision to have the expedition. What were you doing? Were you like an office worker? Were you in school? I mean, what?
I was a personal trainer.
A personal trainer.
And
all right.
I lived in Hawaii.
Okay. Oh, I see. And that's where you made the connection to the Hawaiian kahuna.
Exactly. And the whole process began to unfold.
I see. Okay. And there was something that you were taught or learned from this kahuna that sent you on this trek to the North Pole? I want to understand.
Yes, began to paint the picture a lot more clear. And I began to understand that there are cavern systems and caves that traverse the whole mantle.
You believe that our Earth, well, it's not really exactly hollow, is it? In other words, if there's caverns, that means, passageways, that means it's, in rock. So it's not exactly a hollow Earth. You hear people talk about the hollow Earth. That implies this big, giant, hollow area down there.
Right. Well, you could look at it kind of a geode. Once you get past the mantle,
yes,
there is an open, huge cavern that would be illuminated, would have a bright light.
Why? Where would the light come from?
Okay, there's several sources, and you have to remember that the tribes of old were actually very intelligent people. They walked barefoot a lot. They were in touch with Mother Earth. They understood the energy grid system. They understood the electromagnetic cleansing that can be performed to remove the negative residue, etc. They would traverse into the caves and caverns, and which is a mantle. I never really claim exact numbers and dates, but the mantle is anywhere from 800 feet in some spots to 1,200, 1,400 feet in another spot.
Wow.
And that can consist of a cavern. It could be a pocket of oil, pocket of diamonds, a pocket of gold, different elements within the mantle itself.
Mm-hmm.
The cavern system is a labyrinth, and it actually goes around the whole circumference of the Earth. There's actual water tunnels within the mantle as well, and there's aquatic beings, if you will, that can go around the whole mantle. It's even possible submarines can traverse the whole mantle in the water tunnels. I learned about the Hawaiian tunnel and the cavern systems. I learned that...
Now, how do you know all this?
I just do. It's because I remembered what was forgotten.
You had an NDE, a near-death experience.
Yes, I did. I had an NDE.
All right. Let's see if we can flesh this one out. It says your car flew 250 feet backwards, going 70 miles an hour. Now, why were you going backwards 70 miles an hour, Dallas?
Actually, I lived on a Bear Mountain in a cabin.
Yeah.
And I actually was abducted up there. I'd like to remember to bring that up. Bear Mountain would be right by Ant Hill, Tatchfee Mountain. That's a hotbed for UFO activity. And that also was another puzzle piece that
Dallas?
Yes.
Try and answer my question straight on here. I'm asking you why your car was going backwards at 70 miles
an hour. I'm sorry, sir. I have my mind's full of thoughts.
Okay, well, empty your mind for a moment. At least shallow it out a bit and try and focus on this. Why were you going backwards at 70 miles an hour?
Okay, I was leaving from my cabin in Tehachapi going to Rosedale, which is in Bakersfield, and it was in the middle of El Nino.
Right.
I actually knew it was going to happen from when I met my kahuna. I actually was aware of my graduation or my ascension, basically the completion initiated because a shaman has to die.
Dallas.
So anyway, I was driving down the highway in the middle of El Nino.
Yes.
And I hydroplaned.
Oh, yes.
And I spun around six or seven times and went off a cliff, estimated 70 miles an hour, and I didn't hit until like 70 feet down.
Well, so you should be dead as a doornail.
I actually have pictures, which I would recommend people look at.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and I have the actual newspaper article.
I'd like to see that, actually. Okay. Dallas, where is that?
Cosmic Manuscript.
No. Do we have a... I'll let you give that here in a moment, but I would like to... let's see. Do we have that information?
Yeah, you better look before it floods with people.
I've got Cosmic... CosmicManuscript.com.
Correct.
Is that where I go?
Yes, correct.
All right. I'm there. Now what?
The story.
The story. Okay. I'm there.
Okay. And that's the actual newspaper article and the actual photos of...
Driver escapes death in fall from rain-slickened highway is the story. Okay. There it is. And there's your car... oh, my God, Dallas.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not sure I would call that a car anymore.
Yeah, it's totaled. It was actually turned into a convertible, and it's not a convertible.
Holy smokes, Dallas. You're telling me you went off a cliff in this thing doing 70 backwards and then down 70 feet.
Right.
Well, you really should be dead.
I'm thankful I'm here, and I have another chance. I really am.
Who insisted this car accident was for sure decapitation and the driver could not possibly have survived? Who said that?
There was actually a policeman and fireman there, and they brought down, there was a body bag brought down. There was a lot of confusion. I was so overwhelmed and opened. Basically, all that did is open me to now, because now has no time. Now is eternal.
I see a quote from you here. It says, "Rain," Thompson said, "is something that can kill you."
Exactly. El Nino's coming again, by the way.
I know.
I already defeated it one time, so I should be all right the next time.
You defeated El Nino?
I went to the heart of El Nino, and I conquered and came out alive. So, and we made peace, and there was everything happened for a reason.
You made peace with El Nino?
Yes, peace with El Nino, just peace with nature in general. And I understood my purpose, and I balanced and harmonized myself. And,
right. Well, look, I'm willing to certainly, I mean, here are the photos. There's no denying it. You should be dead. You had, you say you had an NDE, did you actually experience physical death, Dallas?
I actually think I was taken. Exactly just like that. Taken from the moment.
Uh-huh.
And because when I came back, my seatbelt was still buckled. Because there's no way.
Did you experience, to your knowledge, actual physical, it looks to me like you would have, actual physical death, do you think?
Well, I think death is spiritual. So I did experience a spiritual reality, which is now. I went in, some could say the astral realm. I'm still learning and understanding as I go. But I definitely did enter a dimensional vibration or frequency, everything came clear. Because when you come now, the future is not the future. The future is now. And so I understood what was to come. Things became more clear, and it opened me up to bring back basically the manuscript, which is my gift and thanks to everyone on the planet that I love everyone. Basically, I'm sorry if I've done anybody wrong. I got another chance and. And do we need to love the planet? Because that's the main vision that I had.
Must love it. You're getting ready to
We have got to take care of our planet. We're running out of oxygen. Our trees are being cut down. We need to plant more trees. We're digging holes in Mother Earth that are unbalancing her. We're putting buildings that are shifting her harmonic balance. There's a lot of negativity going on, and it's making the...
You sound, Alice, like the Hopi.
I'm actually Cherokee.
Yeah, but I really do sound like the Hopi. I interviewed some Hopi elders, and they say much the same sort of thing. Exactly the same kind.
Right. I actually did study under Hopi when I lived in a teepee and taught the youth. That was in Arizona, though.
At any rate, this is a lot of what they say. You know, that Mother Earth is virtually under attack, and we are the attackers.
And she's going to shift and shake all of it off and move to a different position to rest and connect her harmonic balance again.
You know, all things tend to come back into balance.
Every human cycle has encountered a catastrophe at the end of the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And we're next.
We're next, huh?
Exactly.
And how far away do you think that is, Dallas?
I'm getting a breakup on our phone line here.
Yeah, I'm hearing it also. I was going to have you redial at the bottom of the hour here.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't like to claim an exact date or time, and I think people that do, you should be wary of. But
yeah.
I do feel that it's coming, and it's going to come in the blink of the eye, and it's going to be at night. It's going to be like a thief in the night. And it'll be when people are least expecting it. Everyone will have one day in particular, and then it won't be that date, so they will lose interest, and then bam, it'll come in through the back door, basically.
Well, that's when these things happen, when you're least expecting it, you know.
Right. Right, that is true. So the whole process is what began to align the Cosmic Manuscript spread the word. And publicity has been really, really huge. We've been really busy here. I'm planning May 24, 2003. That's my birthday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The whole movement that has been created is actually to bring awareness to people of the upcoming shift, that caves and caverns are there, and they can create shelter for certain tribes and individuals. And I can't reach everybody, but I recommend you walk barefoot, and you'll be beckoned and called to certain caves that will merge with your dimension and tone and frequency.
And then what? I mean, why?
And you'll survive the shift.
In a cave?
Yes, some caves will actually save you from the catastrophe, absolutely.
As
a matter of fact.
But will it be worth coming out? I mean, it's like they used to say after a nuclear war, they used to say, you know, would you want to survive?
That's the million-dollar question that, you know, a lot of people would have. But I would think that we learn from the mistakes we've made before. We rebuild. I see it as a place of union, a place of everybody planting. The barter systems will be of shells or a type of money that is no longer what we have, possibly sharing and giving and growing for the tribe. The ways of the old will return. So I don't think that could be terribly bad.
But basically we're going to go back to, back to the basics, back to almost the caveman times.
It's actually...
right?
Well, yeah, not to... that primitive, we will actually have advanced technology behind comprehension. All tribes of old have had advanced technology.
Well, in this new world, it doesn't sound like we're going to have cars.
There'll actually be electromagnetic vehicles that will...
Really?
Yes, uh-huh. They can go over 10,000 miles an hour.
This is sounding better.
Yes, exactly. Technology will be enhanced, and the grids will be clean, and we can start anew and fresh.
Really?
Yes.
But in order for this to happen, first, Mother Earth must shake us off like a fly,
right.
on a horse's tail, right?
Exactly. And there's different images that I see. I see it could be a red shift or a blue shift. It could be from Planet X, which we just heard from Ed Dames is actually real and inbound. A lot of people, I have attempted to tell them, you know, what could
there are many people out there who are buying into this Planet X stuff.
Right.
Listen, hold on, Dallas. We'll try and reconnect, see if we can get a kind of a crackle on you too, and we'll try and see if we can get rid of that. Dallas Thompson is my guest, and we'll get down to the nuts and bolts of what he's going to do with a film crew at the North Pole, where he's going to... And as you listen to Dallas, you can, I think, begin to imagine that he's serious about what he says. He probably really will try this. The more I listen to Dallas, the more I'm convinced that may indeed be true. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
From west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
It is. My guest is Dallas Thompson. And you know what? I'm looking at his website, and there's no way. There's no way a human could survive that. I agree with the officer, whoever said what he said. There would have been decapitation and a whole lot more. There's no way Dallas could have lived through this. If you doubt that, take a look at the photographs and read the news story yourself. I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back.
My test with good intent and goodwill, and
yeah, but I mean, you would have been crushed. So what is
that's why I do believe that I was taken from that. I was transported to a safe zone, and I actually
do you remember being transported?
I remember it was spiritual, and that's what was really odd. I felt that it was physical yet spiritual. I was more activated in my spirit mode at that time. And there were and are beings in that realm. I've actually seen...
So I guess what I'm asking is, at the time the accident actually occurred, were you suddenly in a different place?
Yes, I was.
All right. All right, with all that as background, and that is a pretty interesting background, I've got to say. Why are you intent? I mean, I really want to know why you're intent on... entering the is your intent to enter this hole and to head toward the center of the earth? Is that the idea?
Yes, that's my intent. The whole thing is what I did in the beginning, the inception of the whole scenario was I don't want to be involved in the shift. I'd like to talk to a few people about what I've experienced and the visions I've had, and the solo trek came around. And I
okay, let's cover that for a second, the solo trek. No, in fact, we'll get to that in a second. I still need to understand, I guess. You say a film crew is going to go to the North Pole with you, right?
Yes, exactly. I've actually worked with this film crew before,
and
I'd like to touch on this story. It's really interesting.
Please do.
It has to do with my kahuna. I lived in Hawaii. Actually, my family's been off and on Hawaii 20 years now. Pop was in the Air Force, crypto and stenography, and my brother's actually a lifeguard and attends University. Anyways, I moved up there, and I met the kahuna, and it was really, really odd. I was out on the North Shore barefoot in the jungle up above the North Shore looking down, enjoying my day, and I felt the presence or a being looking upon me, and as I made a peripheral eye contact, he was basically blended in and just like he was gone. In a blink of the eye, he was in front of me. And I was stunned and shocked. And it was a man with gray hair and a gray beard. And his name was Kahuna. And he owned half of Maui, by the way.
So pretty well off.
Actually. Yeah, he actually had amazing artifacts.
Hawaiian real estate is very expensive.
Yeah, and that's where I'm getting at. There was some people interested in buying some of his land, and he didn't want to sell his tribe's land.
Yeah.
So I actually encountered a glowing orb, which was photographed on Waimea Fall, which they just had a catastrophe down there. It's a really sacred land. Anyway, when I encountered the kahuna, I began to talk with him, and he was amazing. He had eternity in his eyes, and he knew that he was getting ready to transfer. And he gave me, basically, transferred.
Reed die?
Yeah, basically, he knew that he was getting ready to leave his physical body. Because a physical body is just Mother Earth. It's just a suit, a shell.
All right.
So I showed him the photos after we had a good rapport, built a relationship.
You showed him which photos?
The photos that I had taken from Waimea Fall,
yes.
Which had an orb, which is basically, it was a spirit in pure form. And it caught his attention because he had seen them around, and we took it deeper. My brother, an actor, he's been on 90210 and Saved by the Bell and all this good stuff. He had connections with the director, and we ended up getting investors and getting a movie, and we're going to film it on Maui. And we had a big amount of money ready in the film crew, and I was excited because I got to do the special effects, and I really have a great imagination with that, and I definitely felt at home with that. So anyways, make a long story short, the kahuna was being pounded for people wanted to buy the land. They wanted to build hotels and motels, and he, you know, was bickering with that. The movie was getting closer to production. Everything was right on schedule. Kahuna took me for the last time on a barefoot walk into the jungle. I was given the gifts of a shaman, a kahuna. He had initiated me. I actually held rocks that were from the stars that fell, and the ancient Hawaiians, they've been passed generation to generation. They would vibrate in my hands. I would see images. It was spiritual, almost beyond holographic. So this continued, and I began to wake up, and I began to see what's really going on, and I saw that I was going to have an NDE. I didn't see all of it, but I knew that that occurrence was ahead of me, and I was offered the gift to not partake in it, in return for, basically. And
why didn't you take him up on that?
Things began to unravel and make more sense to me, and I began to understand what actually, I had to basically die before I was reborn, and I think...
Right, but I mean, if a person is actually given a choice between going off a cliff at 70 miles an hour in reverse and not...
Well, that was inedible. That was going to happen, period.
Oh, I see. So it was only the NDE that was optional.
No, it was the fact that I needed to hurry up and become lighter and hurry up with my frequencies and vibrations, because it's like the Hermetic axiom is right when it says all is vibration.
You're losing me a little here.
Okay, I knew the NDE was coming. I didn't know to what extent.
I understand. You've been given a choice. So it was coming, okay.
Yeah, so the movie was ready for production. Kahuna tells me he's getting ready to transfer. Several moons later, I'm back on the mainland, and Kahuna was killed. He was ran over by a Humvee.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
A Humvee.
And he was in a car, and he never drove a car either. And the one time he drove in, like, 3 or 4 years to go take care of a course case, it was a case over his land, he was ran over on the way there. So
the spiritual Kahuna was... accordioned by a Humvee.
It was a government Humvee.
Yeah, it figures. All right.
But
well,
he was
so,
a good guy with good intentions.
Yeah, of course.
It had to do with land. And,
how are you getting the money to go to the North Pole? Does that come from the Kahuna? I mean, the Kahuna had big bucks, right?
Kahuna has caves that are all over.
The question is, how are you getting the money?
We have the investors. One's from Japan and one is in Hollywood. And that's taken care of. I'm not asking for any donations.
Two investors. Are these? Have you checked into whether these people are involved in the Faces of Death videos at all?
they're not. They're actually have been involved in a few blockbusters, actually.
Not Faces of Death. I mean,
I don't think Faces of Death. I think that they see a great documentary, a great movie, and they get rights to it. They like my character. They know I'm full of energy, full of life.
But don't they understand at some level that you could be committing suicide?
After all,
a plan to take... What is this? This
Solo Trek.
Now,
it weighs 350 pounds, by the way, without anyone in it.
350 pounds with no one in it. It's. Do you have a picture of it?
I actually do.
Where?
Okay. You can go to your website, guest info.
I'm there.
Fly to Hollow Earth.
Well, no, wait a minute. Guest info. A guest book, I see.
Oh, no. Are you on my web already?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. It's probably the third or fourth link from the top. Do you see the Hollow Earth there with the UFO and all that good stuff?
Let's see. I see chapters. I'm looking for links. I don't see links. I see the CosmicManuscript.com. That's where I am.
Oh, you're on Cosmic Manuscript? Okay, I have a whole other website. This is years of research, by the way, that I want you to show you. I have Hollow Earth tribes in there as well.
All right, which one do you want me to go to?
The Fly to Hollow Earth.
Oh, Fly to Hollow Earth. I'm sorry. All right, here it is. It's a Java site. It'll take a second here. Because I want to see this.
Hollow Earth tribe photos too, Art. I want you to look at. These are.
All right, well, one at a time. All right, I'm here. Now what?
Okay, the third or fourth link down, past, like, there's a cluster of links at top.
I see them, yes.
Okay, on top of the planet, the Hollow Earth with the UFO, like the third or fourth link, it will say the Solar Trek, our team is going to use the Solar Trek. Can we trust the inner Earth tribes?
Let's see. I'm not seeing that. Here's some more links now.
Yeah, right there. It's right at the top, right on top of that globe.
It's on top of the globe, says time travel.
Okay. Spectacular time travel documents. Go past general links right there. Crystal cities under Hawaii. Keep going. It's under crystal cities of Hawaii.
You have about a million links here.
Yeah, it's the ones under general links at the very top. See where it says general link at the very top, Art? By the moon.
By the moon. I see the moon.
Okay, right next to it, general links on the left.
That I don't see. Well, I see GE and then it's cut off.
Okay, well, there's a lot of people here.
Something's wrong.
There's a lot of people on the web right now. Okay, see spectacular time travel documents right there?
Yes.
A crystal cities under Hawaii?
Yes.
Okay, right there. Press the one under Hollow Earth Entry.
That I don't see.
Hollow Earth Entry.
Okay, I think, unfortunately, all right, let's forget that for a second, because I think something's wrong and I'm not...
Seeing
everything, you know, some of the graphics aren't coming up. So, just tell me about this.
I know what we can do, Art.
What?
Go to solartrek.com.
Solartrek.com?
Yeah.
Is that one of the links?
Yeah, that's their website.
All right. Hold on. That's,
It's important you see this.
All right,
fine.
It's
amazing.
S-O-L-O-T-R-E-K. Solo.
Trek.
Trek.com. Correct. Right? Okay.
I'm excited. It's beautiful.
God.
Exactly.
All right. Here it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It looks like it's got two gigantic fans on top of it.
They are exactly that.
Okay.
It takes off vertically.
Yeah, I can see that it would. Mm-hmm.
It's a honeycomb frame, so it's light.
So these exist now, right?
Yes, they exist. They're in the last phase of production. So
okay,
we got the bat.
What will this vehicle be able to do? I mean, obviously, it's a vertical air or a personal craft of some sort.
It can fly close to the ground, getting past radar, which is pretty nifty. It's made for confined spaces, which is really good. It's actually...
How long will it run?
I have the stats, actually, on it. Let's see here.
It runs on what, gas?
Gasoline.
Gasoline, all right.
Actually, JP4, JP5, and JP8.
Jet fuel.
Jet fuel, yes. maximum speed is like 70 knots. Maximum range is 100 nautical miles. So
100 nautical
yeah,
miles?
Yeah, but we plan on actually modifying the fuel tank.
Well, if you're going to be descending into the Earth.
We're actually going to leave from a boat or up around Jan Mayen Island, Cook Island, somewhere up there, the island top of the world.
So you actually, let me get this straight. You've really got the funds together.
Yes, we do.
To do this.
It's a matter of if I just.
I mean, this is no cheap matter. You've got to get one of these solo tracks,
yeah,
which is really cool.
Yeah, these guys are supportive, yes.
And then you've got to, they were supportive when you told Solotrack about it?
Solotrack's actually, they just came out on the market. They're looking for investors. They're looking for publicity. They're looking for anything they can for their new company.
Well, you'll be publicity, all right.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. So they've made you a pretty good deal, I take it.
Well, actually, they're working. My investors are the ones that are purchasing all. So they're on the first batch because they're doing them in batches. And they will be available to the general public, by the way, the public sectors. Also, the military and paramilitary, which is pretty amazing.
You're obviously going to get one early.
I'm excited.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually working on a TV show where they're going to have one on display, and I get to talk and go around it and actually get in it and stuff, and I'm really excited about that. It's awesome. I really am excited to fly it.
Yeah, I can see why. I mean, personal flight, especially like this, you know, where you're out in the open with the machine, has always attracted me. I broke my arm hang gliding because of that very reason. And so this kind of thing has always attracted me. So you're going to get one of these. Then you've got to hire a ship. I mean, it's no small matter getting to near the North Pole.
Right.
That's going to cost a lot of money.
Yes, it is. And that's where our investors are really glad that we've got it was neat, the coincidental synchronicities in it all, how it just all unfolded and everyone came together.
Well,
it's still unfolding.
How do you get the ship?
You just rent them. You can rent them.
You rent them.
The main thing is getting there. We have a bunch of people on our crew. I belong to a bunch of news groups on the internet. I'm pretty much well known all over the world now, and people know I have a lot of energy and I constantly go. I don't sleep. I just meditate. I've made contact with so many people. A lot of people are involved, and a lot of people want to participate,
uh-huh.
And that's great. And I recommend that. It's just gotten to the point where we've had intelligence come to our attention that there's security around the hole. Once you actually traverse past the security and traverse the hole, the intelligence within already knows you're coming, and they will navigate you.
What kind of...
They'll put an electromagnetic bubble around you and
Dallas,
navigate.
Dallas,
so you don't
Dallas.
Have to worry about
Dallas,
fuel.
Dallas.
Okay.
What kind of security surrounds the hole at the pole?
I would say our third-dimensional security and interdimensional security as well.
But not U.S. Marines?
I would say most definitely all the good guys are always keeping an eye on the hole.
The good guys.
Yeah.
What do you mean by good
guys? Well, I mean the agencies and armed forces definitely patrol the hole. They actually have what they call little mechanical bees or mechanical flies that fly in a swarm. And they actually, micro-mechanical flying insects. And it's rumored that...
They protect the hole?
Yeah. They have cameras built on them, and they look like a real insect. They're getting pretty popular nowadays. And the interdimensional use the rod basically as a to just watch and monitor, which is an interdimensional device actually. So the hole is protected, and with all this publicity, it's getting really interesting. We are shooting for our date. We may do it a week before or a week after, or a couple. But we do want to do it. There's a lot of people with a lot of money that want to, because I don't know the exact date, but there's signs you watch for, Art. The animals are a good sign to watch, by the way. When the newspapers fill up with pets that are lost and running wild, that's a great sign to understand that something is coming real quick.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Jim Berkland, the geologist, watches that very closely.
Right.
For earthquakes and so forth and so on. And I would think you would want to, because you certainly wouldn't want to be in the hole when there's an earthquake.
Actually, the animals are really sensitive. The whales and dolphins are already, experiencing the shift. We are already in the shift. It's already started. It's just a slow process before it does it real quick. That's why the animals are going to go berserk again. They're going to beach themselves. Sharks are going to attack again. A lot of people say that's with heart, but it goes beyond, and it has.
They've actually been making videos lately of animals that attack their owners.
Yes, that's the the shift. That it's almost, people are feeling it. They're feeling anxious. They know something's going on, but they can't put their finger on it.
What's
going
to happen? I mean, you must have done some research on this. When
I've been researching this since I was a kid.
Hold on. Slow up.
Okay.
When you actually begin descending into the hole in Earth, is it going to get hotter? Is it going to get colder? Is it going to be just a shaft that you're in? Are you going to be descending in a large area? What's the terrain going to be like as you go down?
Okay. This reminds me. I want to bring it up. And don't let us forget what we're talking about. There's actually a light within the cavern system, so it's illuminated.
Right.
The moss also glows, too.
Okay.
And also the tribes of old and the intelligence from the solar systems.
What did I ask you now?
Okay, you asked me what the terrain was.
Yes.
The terrain actually differs. It's a misconception that it gets hot down there.
Okay.
That lava is actually a vent system that just it goes around the mantle.
So it's vented. It's not everywhere.
So
in other words, it'll be what? A constant cool temperature then?
Some parts it's so cold it's hot. So that's kind of spooky, but...
What does that mean?
That just means you don't want to go in that cavern, basically.
But, I mean,
there's all polarities. There's positive.
So cold that it's hot. I mean, you really have to try to explain that to me. Cold that it's hot.
There are some chambers that the tribes of old were actually smart. They manipulated the light that does come down there, the cosmic ray, the particles, to where they bounce off this crystal to that crystal to that crystal, and they go through the crystal caves, light up crystal cathedrals that are mineral cathedrals, like 20 feet tall. They're really beautiful. And they keep sparking and shimmering the light, so it lights up all the passageways. It's amazing.
So cold that it's hot.
Yeah, and then there's some caverns that are basically so cold below freezing that if you just touch them, it can basically freeze your foot off.
Oh, well, that would be traditional cold. It just, it's like a burn when you get something that cold. I see. So cold, not hot. I'm Art Bell. Dallas Thompson is my guest. He's going into the hole at the North Pole soon.
In the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. Or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
That's who I am, all right. Dallas Thompson is my guest. He's headed for the North Pole in a vehicle, one-man vehicle, is going to descend down into the hole, Admiral Byrd talked about, down toward the center of the Earth. He's going to have a film crew. He's got investors. He's got the money. He's got the means. And in a moment, a couple of comments for him with regard to what the audience is saying about this this whole concept as explained thus far. All right. Once again, here is Dallas Thompson, who plans to go down to the center of the Earth. And Dallas, I'm going to level with you, and I'm going to read you a couple of comments that I'm getting, typical comments I'm getting from the audience on Fast Blast, which is, you know, our computer ability to send messages here, and some of it is rather harsh.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Now, for example, this guy is obviously manic and delusional, says one person. Let's see. Another says, this poor soul is a bipolar manic in his manic phase. Another says, this guy sounds crazy as a loon. He makes JC sound normal. Now, that's pretty harsh stuff.
I send him love and light.
Do you?
And, yeah, I do. I've been doing live radio interviews for 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
And I've encountered, you name it, I've already experienced that situation. So some people are angry when they first encounter opening their mind to new thoughts. And that's usually the first, you know, wave. And then after that, they start to look into the facts, do their own research. And all I'm doing is asking people to look within themselves and find who they are and turn inside out, basically. Because all the answers they need are inside. They just have to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to bring up, as far as the mantle, all of the tribes of old, the Hawaiian, the Mayan, Aboriginal, Indian,
yes,
Egyptians, even back into Sumerian times, have had elders, seers, shamans go into the caves and caverns and keep the bloodlines going, keep the tribe alive.
Well, do you think they honestly understood what was within the earth or even had been there? Or
absolutely.
They just, or that it was a myth and a legend that grew? Because, of course, we walk on the earth, so we naturally wonder what's below us. But, I mean, come on.
Actually,
this hollow world where there are beings living and all the rest of that, Dallas, that's pretty far out stuff. You gotta
actually, it's not. If you think of Mother Earth as a hive.
But as a hive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a thought. in all the tribes of old, Egypt, they have a tunnel under the pyramid that went past the mantle and tapped the technology. That's how they got the technology for that particular cycle.
Now, see, I was there and I didn't see it.
Well, of course you didn't see it. It's underground.
Well, I went down.
Well, there is access to the technology, which is from the beings. That's how they tapped it. That's how they accelerated their technology and amplified. Definitely. They had contact with beings from inner dimensions and beyond.
Well, what are these beings that are within the earth? Describe them.
Okay, well, there's actually tribes, humans,
uh-huh.
That live long because of the firmament atmosphere. It's pure. No cosmic rays, gamma rays.
Not all the PCBs and all the rest of that.
The elf
junk,
waves,
right?
The microwaves, all the pollution.
Yeah.
So they live longer. And there's also beings from other solar systems that live in other hive. They go from hive to hive. And when they come to our atmosphere, they prefer to go inside.
Did you know that Lee Iacocca allegedly once said, quote, "We've got to pause and ask ourselves, how much clean air do we need?" And
right. Well, we need lots of clean air. That's why I'm telling everyone to plant trees and to start, you know, showing appreciation for our planet.
Well, what about the air below Earth? I mean,
as above, as
conventionally,
below.
I mean, well, I don't know about that. I mean, miners have gone down, and as I mentioned in the first hour of the program, they used to take canaries with them because in a lot of places there would either be poison or there would be no
exactly.
oxygen, and a little canary would drop over dead.
Exactly.
And that would be a big sign for them to go. And aren't you worried about that kind of thing when you go down?
That's security, by the way. That's a part of the security system is a gas, the pockets of gas that they have were needed.
Well, yeah, but you're going to be flying down into this hole in the North Pole.
Okay, once they know I'm coming before I go. So once I get close to the hole and traverse into the dimensional opening.
Yes.
And this is documented, the holes here. You look through history, Admiral Byrd with the Navy.
I know.
Okay, I'm saying for the listeners. they actually know I'm coming, so they will navigate me.
All right, but listen, for the listeners, let us go back. Admiral Byrd, what exactly did he document about this supposed hole at the North Pole?
Okay, it was February 19th, 1947.
Right.
Admiral Byrd traversed the hole. He no longer had to use his fuel in the plane. It basically was navigated from the intelligence within. He was guided to Crystal City.
Now, he wrote all of this down?
This is all within me. I just remember.
Within you. What about actual evidence, though,
Devlin? This is actual evidence. This is documented. I have documents I can show you.
I know, but these are your documents, right?
No, these are the documents.
The
diary.
That's what I'm asking about. What did he actually write in the diary?
Yeah,
not what you know is true within you.
I'm telling
only.
You, it's the exact diary.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, he has actually a secret diary. I have it on my website, and I'll tell people I'll get there later.
You do?
Yeah.
A secret diary?
Yeah.
I mean, there actually was some public discussion about a hole at the North Pole that apparently was in quite a public diary.
Yeah, well, the right? Thule Society actually has some footage, which is pretty amazing.
The Who Society?
Thule.
How do you spell that?
I want to say, T-H-U-L-E.
Oh, Thule. Thule.
Yeah.
As in, okay.
Okay, well, anyway, when he was navigated, he was taken into basically the hole. He went past the mantle, and it was actually tropical. The floral and fauna was actually, the trees were actually 800 to 1,200 feet tall. Everything was more plush and greener.
Those are
big trees.
He saw herds
of mammoth.
Yeah, those are very large trees.
Yes, and mushrooms, plants, and he saw herds of mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that tells us basically
like the woolly mammoth?
Yes, herds of them.
Wow.
And basically dinosaurs, they found the caverns were warm, and quite a few herds went inside the caves and made their way in.
Oh, you mean so dinosaurs continue then to exist?
Yes, they're real. They are. They're there. I've actually seen, and this sounds far-fetched, but I've actually seen pterodactyls, and they are real and alive.
You've seen, wouldn't all of this be of a concern to you? I mean, if you're really going to go down there, facing off a dinosaur is that serious stuff.
It really is, but it's a lot of it down there is a dimensional thing, and a lot of it just goes by once word is known you're coming. I think that there's a telepathic communication type with all essence that's within that particular dimension. So if you come in as a stranger, I think the dinosaurs will halt you, and you know, and all the booby traps will be set. But if you notify and they know you're coming and it's part of the process of what's unfolding, then I think it's a different thing.
What if you're wrong?
I know I'm not. And I know because I know because I know because I know.
Well, so it's annoying. I mean, we can't question you beyond that. It's like an article
right.
of faith with you, right?
Right. Well, you know, people say, you know, how can you prove this or that? Well, how can you prove angels? How can you prove ghosts, you know? They're there.
But these are the things that you just know about the inner earth.
In general, all of the whole big picture, I just am awake, and I do my best not to raise red flags and just, you know, have people open their mind to the bigger picture and what's really going on.
Well, you do sound extremely enthusiastic, and some people read that as manic.
I'm just excited.
Yeah, oh, I can tell.
The Solar Trek to me is like the best toy I could have ever imagined.
It is a hell of a toy. I'd actually like to have one myself.
Exactly.
I don't think my wife would let me have it, but I'd love to have one.
Yes, I actually will be able to purchase them pretty soon. So, hey, Art, I have some Hollow Earth tribe skull photos I really want to show you.
Hollow Earth what?
Tribe photos.
Tribe photos?
Yeah, they're skull photos of the tribes from a tribe in the Hollow Earth. It's amazing.
You mean photos of the beings?
Of their skull. It's about five, six pictures of their skulls, and these are Hollow Earth beings.
Of their what?
Hollow Earth beings, and it's their actual skull.
What is a skull?
Their skull on your head.
You mean like a turban?
Well, actually, their entire head. It's the bone of their entire head. The bones.
Oh,
of the...
you're saying skulls?
Yeah, skull.
Skulls.
Yes.
All right. You see, I couldn't.
You have to see them, Art.
Do I?
Yes, they're amazing.
Where is it that I
on the fly to Hollow Earth?
Wait a minute. You know, you're just going to have to sort of.
The best way to do it. There's a flying saucer. Once you get to the Hollow Earth website, that is spinning. It's right under the globe on top.
Okay, well, I'm way behind now because I was somewhere else. I was reading yet more things about you. On the Hollow Earth, Fly to Hollow Earth website?
Yes,
All right.
People could put Fly to Hollow Earth in Google and they'd find it.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I can't even get on right now because it's so jammed
up. It really is, and I really want you to see these photos. They're amazing.
Well, I can't.
Hey, how about on break? I help you find them.
Well, yeah, but the problem is that right now they're assaulting your website.
Yeah.
And so as they, well, actually, I just sort of got on. All right.
Okay, good deal.
Now what?
Okay, you see the globe there? Has the hole on it and the UFO and the moon?
Yep.
Okay, it's about five links down from the moon.
See,
the cosmic manuscript, keep going past third and fourth dimensions.
And what does it say? It says...
It says amazing pictures of Hollow Earth tribes, and keep going down until you see the UFO moving, swirling around. And you'll see right next to it, amazing pictures, Hollow Earth tribes, finally revealed.
I'm just not seeing it. See, what's happened is, because your website is so jammed...
What links do you see, Art?
Some of the graphics are just not coming up the way they're supposed to.
We don't need graphics. It's,
so you're just going to have to tell me about it. These are skulls.
They're amazing. They're actually... skulls from tribes within the Hollow Earth.
How do you know that that's where they're from, as opposed to just, I don't know, ancient above Earth skulls?
Okay, because if they roamed on the upper Earth, then they would be seen and not hidden, and so they wouldn't be they would be common, not uncommon. They've managed to
be eluded. What is the difference, if I were to be able to see it right now, between a regular human skull or even an ancient skull and the skulls you're talking about?
They have a longer, I would say. Bigger heads, a longer, I would say, brain. It's a bigger brain.
And where did you come upon these skulls?
They're actually from a library. This website, I have such an amazing story. The website I've created, you can't find these websites that I display on the search engines anymore. This has taken years of research.
Yes.
I happen to locate these in a library, actually a museum. And they're authentic, and they're mind-blowing. And I've never seen them on anywhere on the net except for Fly to Hollow Earth. And you have to see them, Mark. Maybe on break we can attempt to find them.
Perhaps. Okay. But, I mean, you've got to imagine that a lot of people in the audience don't have a computer, so they're not going to see them anyway, so it's best that you describe it.
Okay. Basically, a lot of them, the skulls look like the Egyptian gods, how they had the inflated skull.
Where were these? Where were they found? Where were they found?
These were actually discovered in a cave. In the ground.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and they're really amazing. But I wanted to bring up, as far as once you get inside, it's a firmament atmosphere. So the air down there is actually, it's breathable.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the majority of the population is beyond the third dimension. They're dimensional.
Huh. Not physical in the sense of...
Yeah, as far as the UFOs and all that good stuff and the aliens and what have you, I have some stories I want to bring up that are amazing. One about the blue orb and also the metallic orb. But UFOs and aliens are actually... they can take any form they need in any particular cycle. For the Hawaiians, it was the Tiki gods. For Egypt, it was the Egyptian gods. For the Aborigine.
What about for the Christians, Dallas?
Well, basically, there's polarities in all energy. So,
you said that they took the form of these various gods. Are they virtually taking the forms of all gods? You're saying that all gods really are aliens?
I think that they can.
Is that a yes or a no?
They can unfold that script if they want to.
So,
but it may not be the genuine script.
Are you thinking that all gods are aliens? That's the question.
I would say that,
yes.
Yeah, they're an alien to our perception, but in the divine process and celestial balance, they fit in with perfect harmony. Definitely.
Are all gods that we worship here on Earth, including the God of Christians, really aliens masquerading? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that they can take any form they want. And if a form that is comfortable for you or me, that'll be basically what they present themselves. Basically, an alien is an organic flesh suit or a holographic laser.
So would you say then that most written literature with regard to the presence of gods on Earth, and there are many worshipped very fervently here,
right?
Actually, we're aliens. and that's where this information has come from.
No, they were actually, we can get into the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, into that. So they're actually, some are real beings. And
were Nephilim real beings? Were they?
Nephilim were giants, actually, once they breeded with humans.
Oh, yes, but were they cast down? No.
What was that, Art?
Were they cast down? Were the Nephilim cast down, or are these were those aliens?
Actually, I perceive this is when I see the aliens. I see them as a holographic perception that's projected. The source of it is in a whole other subject. They can take any form they want. The Nephilim are basically fit into the angel hierarchy as far as beings. The Anunnaki and Nephilim have to do with Mars. They have to do with the moon. They have to do with our planet. I think all planets are a hive. My tribe does as well.
Dallas,
I actually have satellite photos of all the planets, and you got to see those too.
Yeah, Dallas, when my producers interviewed you, did you explain all this to them?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
Why not?
I just briefly touched on the story and filled them in. And
what were they mostly interested in, Dallas?
They wanted to know basically what I know.
Well, then why didn't you begin telling them like this?
Because it just flows out of me, basically. That's why.
I feel the flow, Dallas.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're going to descend into the earth in this machine, and a lot of people are asking questions about running out of gasoline and the fact that you're going to go down. You're going to get what, 100 miles? You think you go 100 miles down on one tank, or even further? You said
well,
you would.
Once you get past the hole, I will be navigated, so fuel won't even be it won't be a problem. I will modify the tank, but once I actually traverse the hole. They'll navigate me.
And, and just like the Admiral, you're not going to need any more gasoline.
Exactly.
So your machine will be flying
exactly
on dimensional energy or something.
It'll be actually an electromagnetic bubble that'll be around me.
Dallas?
Yes.
You might die.
I actually am here for a reason. And I want to say to people that do have doubts that...
Well, all right. Say that when we get back, because we're at the bottom of the hour. I'm Art Bell.
Learn from us very much.
in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
It is. And my guest is Dallas Thompson. And in a moment, we're going to learn more about Dallas on various levels. And what I'm going to do is open the phone lines and let you ask Dallas questions. I think that would be enlightening. So we'll do that coming up very shortly. All right, once again, into the dark night with Dallas Thompson. And Dallas, offhand, do you remember the names of the producers that you spoke with who did the pre-interview with you?
Pre-interview radio interview?
Yeah, before you came on here.
Oh, I've been on several BBC.
No, Dallas.
What?
No. Before you came on this program.
Oh, Lisa.
Lisa. Uh-huh. Okay, Lisa. Is she the only one you spoke with?
I think so.
I see. Lisa, okay. All right. There are a number of people who would like to speak to you now. It's a hopeless case, Dallas. I'm not going to get on your website because, as unlikely in some ways as it would seem, they're bombarding your website and they're looking at the skulls. And for example, Kendall in Colorado Springs, Colorado, actually says, all right, the skulls look just like the skulls would be of the Coneheads. Now, do you remember the Coneheads movie?
I do.
You do?
But there's actually a pumpkin skull on there, too, that defies description.
A pumpkin?
A pumpkin head skull, yeah. It's
timely, Halloween's coming. But, I mean, really, he thinks they look like Coneheads.
Yeah, some do.
Do they?
Just like the grays. Some people think the grays are cone, too.
Yeah. All right, I'd like to subject you to questions from the audience.
Okay. Hey, right? Lisa's not in trouble, is she?
I haven't made that determination yet.
Am I sharing too much?
Hold on a sec,
okay.
Dallas. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, hello.
Hi, I'm calling from Evansville, Indiana. I listen to you on WGBF 1280.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad I got through. First time I ever tried and got through right away.
We're probably glad to.
I was wondering if Dallas had ever heard that tape you had when it went out with the Russians sent that microphone down there in Siberia in that hole.
Actually, I have heard that. I actually have that on my Hollow Earth website.
Now, doesn't that...
You do?
You know,
I do, yes.
That very tape?
That very tape.
And
that
where
recording.
Am I...
It was with you, Arbel.
So, in other words, you took my recording?
No, actually, some website. I just linked to them, and they actually have the recording on there in the description. Uh-huh. I can show it to you sometime.
Well, aren't you a little worried about that, Dallas?
It's a good point, Dallas. He's making a really good point. You know, if this story, and it was a Reuters story, is true, about scientists that drilled the deep hole in Siberia and then lowered the microphones into the hole and, as we all know, came up with a sound that... Dallas, I mean, he makes a really good point here. If you're going to lower yourself into that, aren't you at all concerned?
I feel that there's polarity within the cavern world. Some beings are just doing their part, and so I plan on...
Do you think that's down there?
I think that there is a cavern that I wouldn't want to visit.
So, in other words, it may be that the Russian scientists that drilled down in just happened to drill into the unfortunate negative cavern.
Yeah, something like that. And there's other caverns.
So, caller, he's not worried because there's positive caverns down there.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there's
all right, well, good luck, Dallas.
All righty. When I say positive caverns, I mean... They're like Atlantis, the ruins of Atlantis would be
positive,
a certain tribe. There's
by comparison, obviously. I mean, to that, anything would be pretty much positive, right?
Yeah, exactly. The technology is positive. It's what we do with it that I'm concerned about.
I understand. Okay, wild card line, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello.
It's Dallas.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I have two questions for you, sir.
Okay.
Quickly.
All righty.
You're familiar with the 1964 book, The Hollow Earth, by Dr. Raymond Bernard, I'm sure.
Yes, I've actually heard about that and looked into it a little bit.
Well,
I'm actually legally blind, so I don't read too much.
Okay.
Now, wait. Caller, can you hold on a second?
Sure.
He just said he's legally blind.
Yes.
Now, that raises another concern for me. I mean, anybody who plans to take a flying vehicle into the hole at the North Pole and then on down into the center of the Earth and is legally blind, right there I see a problem, Dell.
Actually, no.
A potential problem, anyway.
No, actually, my sight's actually better than it ever was. And it happened from the bright light I saw during my NDE experience. That's when I went to the medical doctors, and they said my retinas were burned.
What if they're right, and what if you're really legally blind?
When that comes to play, I use my dimensional sight, my pineal gland, my third eye, if you will.
Okay, caller, dimensional sight. Anyway,
yeah.
Caller,
well,
anyways, go ahead.
Only when I'm reading, that's basically the problem.
I see.
As
all
far
right.
as anything beyond that, I'm fine.
You're okay.
And
all right.
Once
all right.
I get close
right.
to the whole
Let the caller ask his question.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Okay, Dallas, do you expect to run into the Anunnaki, our reptilian creators, when you get down there?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's a possibility. We've already made contact, so I won't be, you know, the first one. I'm basically just here to be a messenger and just open people's mind to the possibilities of a bigger picture.
But even that said, running into a reptile.
Yes, there is the reptile race, and I have already experienced those particular tribe of beings. And
but they could conceivably have you for lunch.
That is a possibility, but why didn't they eat Admiral Byrd?
You are aware that Sitch and the Anunnaki are reptilian beings, aren't you?
Yeah, they are. They're reptilian race. And they also have mantis-type beings and amphibian. All kinds of different suits that they perform the stage of life on.
Well, they do live underground. My opinion, you will run into them if you make it.
That's true. That's a possibility.
And then, so then you've got to consider that this really could be a faces of death kind of thing. I mean, of course, it'd be a hell of a thing to catch on camera.
I feel that,
How will the film crew follow you in any way to below the ground? I mean, they will show you, I'm sure, taking off in this vehicle that you have shown us. Descending into the hole. I beg your pardon?
A portable camera.
Oh, it's a good thing.
On my helmet.
On your helmet?
Yep.
Oh, you mean like in Fear Factor?
Yep. And it'll be linked to the internet and all that good stuff.
Oh.
Now, due to the publicity and the security we're encountering, we may pick a cave that my tribes are aware of. There's several of them that are safe ground to traverse into the hollow portions. So that is a possibility. But we could also use remote control devices to fly into the hole.
Well, just speculatively here, there's going to be a camera, you say, on your helmet, right?
Correct.
Now, in Fear Factor, they always have the camera pointed around to the person's face. That's not going to be the case here. It's going to be pointed out toward...
Yes, it'll be out. You see what I see.
So in other words, we would see the lizard people or the dinosaurs or whatever.
And I can assure you the presentation that they will offer will be dazzling.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it would be.
It's nothing to fear. They want to get the word out that, you know, they're around. And they're around all the time, by the way. Shadow creatures, beings are around us all the time. And Halloween will be quite sparkly.
This Halloween?
Yes.
You have had some sort of vision about this? Or
I just know that the activity increases a lot and... You know, sort of the shadow people. I wanted to touch on animals and Bigfoot, as a matter of fact, if you wouldn't mind. I have a story which is pretty phenomenal.
Okay.
Okay. I work with a friend of mine. We do construction on the side. He was doing a project working on a fence in his backyard, a fellow by the name of Brett.
Mm-hmm.
They came to me as I arrived, said, "We scoured the area. There are no insects, no wasps or bees in the area we need to build the fence." I said, "Are you guys sure?" Positive. We searched the area 3-4 times.
Mm-hmm.
We've killed dozens of them.
Mm-hmm.
The area is clear. So as the guy is telling me that, I look out the peripheral in my corner of my eye. I see a wasp nest, which is about the size of a softball, above his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, are you sure about this? Have you looked above your head and saw the wasps that are up there? You know, he looked at me dumbfounded. There's no wasp up there. I've, you know, cleared the area. And I said, well, why don't you look?
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, there's a wasp nest up there.
Yeah.
And after further inspection, the larva was 3 months old, so it had been there. Now, what they did is they lowered their vibration and frequency for a survival skill to not be found.
So the wasps became essentially invisible.
Basically, yes. And animals can do that. Cats can do it. That's why there's cats around all the time, and you don't see them only until that one specific time when you catch them out of the corner of your eye.
Well, you know, one of two things certainly is true about cats, and I have four of them. And on occasion, they can find, or they can seem to find, hiding places that truly, I mean, I've looked in every crack, and
exactly.
Like this cat is not in the house. But then when you call it or you rattle food,
right.
Rattling food is good. From where?
Back to your vibrational frequency.
That pulls them back to our vibrational frequencies big time. They hear that food vibrating, and, man, they are there.
Exactly.
They make a transitional, shift that is, like, instantaneous, and they come darting out of the darkness.
Yes, there's actually cats in people's homes and around.
Yes.
And they don't see them. These are animals. We're going to...
You mean it's like you have pets that you didn't even know you had?
Exactly. We are.
What do they eat, though?
they have survival skills of old, like a wild animal, which has a script they follow, which is untampered. Their minds are clear, so the birds find food. All animals can do this. They can manipulate, and it's a survival skill. The stray animals, once they remember what they've forgotten, they will survive. It's when they follow the master's script of I'll be home at 5 o'clock to feed you, and they get caught in that thought participation that...
In other words, put another way, when they get involved with us, everything goes to hell in a handbasket.
Yes, they begin to follow our time cycle and our participation in this time period.
I see. Otherwise, they'd be far better off.
Yes, exactly.
We're ruining them.
Yes.
We're ruining our own pets.
We love them dearly, but we need to give them more freedom. When our pets begin to act up and start wanting to run, you open that gate and let them run and follow them.
Yeah, and follow them.
Yes, because they're going to take you to safe ground.
Now, there was once some great person said, if you love something,
let it go, and if it comes back, it was
free.
Meant to be.
If it comes back, kill it.
Well, if it's your pet and it's part of the family, I don't think you'd want to do that.
No, probably not.
The pets feel the urgency. They know something's coming. They alert us. They give the signs.
Okay, Dallas, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Are you on the air? You're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Art.
There you are.
Yes, it's Jeff calling you once again, Midland, Texas.
Yes.
Listening on KCRS 550 AM.
Yes.
Yes, I had a question. I'm an amateur photographer and filmmaker.
Oh, yes. Would you like to go along?
Actually, I would.
You would?
Yeah, but
even to the degree of accompanying Dallas down?
I'm not sure about that part.
Well, that's going to be the drama. You know, that's going to be the big drama.
Right. My question is, as an amateur filmmaker myself, it's almost impossible to get funding. And I wondered, can you tell me, Dallas, who is backing you on this? I mean, I noticed that sometimes, like on National Geographic Explorer, you know, they have really exquisite photography and programming and so forth. Who is backing you?
Okay. All right. Well, now I want to be careful here.
My contacts are remaining anonymous, but
there is no question. I mean, you have solid financial backing.
Yes, we do, and we actually have more.
May I ask
you
a question, Dallas?
Yeah.
You have more than you need.
Yeah, we have to have.
That's so unusual for an expedition of this.
Well, I mean
sword.
As far as the funding.
No. I understand money.
Yeah.
Green every day, spend it in this earth. Money.
Now, money is kept for the project.
Yes, I understand. But what I don't understand, Dallas, is in order to get this funding, people like yourself have to go to the investors, whoever they might be, and explain what they're going to do.
Well, we did that the first movie we were involved in after Kahuna died.
Why
we
it's
came in
worth,
contact with a lot of artifacts that are worth
why
a
it's
lot.
Worth investing in. So when you went to your investors on this project going down into the hole of the North Pole.
Right.
you would have had to have explained most of what you're telling me right now.
Yeah, but they were actually wanting me to do it years ago. After the first movie project, they were so excited and happy to be working with me and, you know, the projects that I conjure up. We actually had the funding then. When Kahuna passed away, we came in contact with some really rare artifacts, which are from the stars. They're priceless, basically. So, you know, we have, and there are some in caverns and caves that are hidden. And
this whole thing is priceless.
Basically.
So you explained to these investors that here's my new idea.
Exactly.
The last one worked, and now I want to go into the hole in the North Pole.
And they were ecstatic. They were more than willing. They wanted to do it a long time ago to create a new project. I after Kahuna didn't die.
These people that are investing in you, they don't make snuff films, do they?
You know, I who knows what their side projects are. I just know that they want
to
need
them. I just wanted to...
But the Kahuna didn't die. He just transferred.
He transferred, I understand. In the Air Force, when you transferred, it was a whole different thing. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello.
Hello,
yes.
Yeah, this is Jimmy from Bakersfield.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right there. You're in the same town as Dallas.
Yeah. Hi, Jimmy. How are you? Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Well, I have a point, but before that, I heard the noise from the hole a few minutes ago.
Yes.
And that's strikingly similar to a noise I heard the other night on the Discovery Channel. It was, I can't remember the name of the program, it was something like Mysteries of the Deep. And the scuba scientist had sent some type of a microphone underwater.
They heard something like that underwater?
Yeah, and they got a sound from, it was one of the deepest trenches in the world. They were talking about the spine of the earth that goes underneath all the seas. And it was a sound just like that, but it was a little different, you know, because it was underwater.
Yeah, well, Dallas, now we've got one of these from water and one of these from land.
Yeah, there actually is underwater kingdoms, by the way.
Well, but if they sound like that, Dallas.
A mother earth spine, that is an actual system that connects at the four corners.
I know, but now we've got two. I mean, how many under earth audio samples do we have? We have two that I know of. The one I have that I played and the one this man is talking about that he heard on, what was it?
The Discovery Channel.
And it sounded like that. And so now only two samples, and they both sound like that, Dallas. That's got to frighten the hell out of you.
Yeah, there is a spooky aspect to it, I do admit. But like I said, I don't really fear, and I don't have fear. I just feel that I made an agreement to give my cosmic manuscript, which basically is going to save us from a heck of a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so... I did my part. And
besides this helmet that you're going to wear with the camera, that I guess you have to do, you know, for the production value of the whole thing, so that your investors are happy. But besides that, what else are you going to wear? For this,
it's just like riding a motorcycle or, you know, a snowmobile.
You're going to wear a Hell's Angels jacket or something? What?
It's a possibility. I'll wear a patch on the back of my suit, just for you, Art.
A patch?
Yeah, a Hell's Angels patch.
A Hell's Angels patch. Or maybe a NASA patch upside down. They go up, you're going down, right?
Something to that effect, yeah.
A NASA patch upside down, that'd be good.
But, you know, I'm going to wear proper attire that is fitting for the adventure, basically.
But you can't be sure it's not the rocket ship to hell, to be straight with you.
That's a possibility. You guys keep telling me this, maybe I'll back out completely.
Oh.
I don't think so. But I've taken all of it in consideration. And if it's not me, it'll be a different explorer. But there's going to be a...
If not you, then who, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dallas, hold on. Dallas Thompson is my guest. And he's going where no man hath gone before. No living man, anyway. Into a hole in the North Pole. And he's got people who put up money for this. I'm Art Bell from the High Desert. This is Coast to Coast AM, only in the middle of the night. Only in the middle of the night. Would we dare?
Once upon a time, once when you were mine, I remember your skies.
Rolling old. The sunset's gone, the sunset's gone. The clouds float high, and the earth turns slow. And the young bird's eyes do always grow. And she must fly.
Richard Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Networks.
It is indeed. My guest is one Dallas Thompson, who plans to descend into the bowels of the Earth, the very center of the Earth. He will do this from the North Pole, relying on Admiral Byrd's word, that there's a hole there that descends deep into the darkness. Or, if you listen to Dallas, the not-so-dark inner Earth. Remarkable trek he's about to embark on. More in a moment. Now, once again, here is Dallas Thompson. Dallas, something your public awaits you, but there is something I want to ask you about. For a trip like this that is financed by, well, we haven't named them, whoever it is financing this, what about insurance, Dallas?
That's a good idea. I plan on not getting hurt, but I actually haven't even really... I have personal insurance, and I've just kept with that, so...
So you think your own personal policy would cover it?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you have family? I mean...
I do. Actually, yeah. I do. I would like to mention the energy grids and why plants die in people's households real quick.
Why plants die in people's houses?
Yeah, every word you say...
I would have gotten there very soon, but okay.
Okay, well, every word that we speak or think, every thought we have,
yes,
takes on a geometric shape. And they store in the energy grids, and they can store over towns and cities, and there's also residue in people's homes. That's why if people argue a lot,
yeah,
me being legally blind, I'm sensitive to vibrations or frequencies, I pick up on this a lot, the energy stores the residue within their home, especially if they have dust. That's electromagnetic connection that accelerates it. But... it actually will resonate negative energy if they argue a lot, and that's why they don't have houseplants. That's why they don't live, because
the houseplants
are really sensitive.
They're murdered by this negative energy.
Yeah, and that's what's happening to our energy grids. That's why Mother Earth is tired. She said enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to touch on the pole, too, the possible redshift and blue shift. It's not just Planet X that is responsible for the shift. It's a wave, a magnetic wave. It could be coming from Etna Carina. It could be an implosion or explosion.
Well,
that just as Planet X comes in our orbit, it could push it closer or another planet. When I say Planet X, I mean a planet that is mysterious. That's the thought and image that comes to my mind is Wormwood. But we are going to have
Bible,
a shift.
So it's entirely possible, Dallas, that you're going to go into this hole. And you're never coming back.
I'm just visiting, Art.
I understand that's your intent.
My essence and my being is love and life.
No, I understand. Your intent. But you've got to face up to the possibility that everything you think is might not be so. Or there might be something that you didn't think about, Dallas.
Well,
like the lizard people, like the dinosaurs, like like the sounds that we have from down there. Whatever it is, some little fact that you missed or got wrong. And that would be, of course, the reason for the... I mean, you can't call AAA when you're down there. So,
right.
So you might not be coming back, Dallas. It might be a one-way trip.
And I'm taking that in consideration, and I'm thinking
are you?
About it. Yeah, I am. And this conversation brings more to light, and
sure.
I get more insight of people that are, aware, and they give me their input. I just want to bring awareness because, I actually saw the hole. That's what this whole thing is about.
Where did you see the hole?
In my near-death experience, I basically...
Oh.
That's when I made the connection that there was holes on the pole. And that's why I want to fly, just to verify they're there.
Yeah.
Maybe if and I didn't even...
Well, are you going to on the first trip, are you going to just scout it out and find the hole,
or
are you going to take this incredible one-man vehicle, air vehicle, into the hole?
I may do a few fly-arounds and then go for it. So, and if I just get some aerial views of it, that's good. And it depends on the media that I have. And I want to say real quick, I'm getting thousands of emails from all over the world.
It's very interesting, Dallas. Yeah. Do you remember Mel's hole?
I do. As a matter of fact, I do. And I know
There were dimensional characteristics associated with Mel's hole as well.
Exactly.
I mean, so that, of course, wouldn't surprise you.
Not at all. And I'm not going to make the mistakes he made. I don't want to end up how that guy did. He basically, I'm willing to not red flag.
I'm willing
to work with the people involved.
Some things really went wrong for Mel, as you know.
Yes, he should have stayed in Australia.
Yeah, he was. He was having a good
Something
time.
Something like where all his teeth were missing and he's found in an alley.
It was a horrible story.
Well, I'm not taking that route, and I know better. I'm more intelligent.
Uh-huh.
I'm willing to talk with people and come to a conclusion.
Yeah,
where
but did you hear Mel when he was on last about the animal that
the
was
seal
like
inside?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what if something like that befalls you?
That's a possibility. And like I say, what you give off when you're here in the third dimension, that's what you transfer to when you transfer.
Karma.
So I get karma.
Yeah.
I give off only love and light. So I'm not too worried about
when
I do transfer. I will go to that source. No matter where I am.
All right.
I won't be trapped.
I got you. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Madeline from Pahrump, Nevada.
Here in Pahrump.
Of course.
Hey, Madeline, you going to the Harvest Festival?
Well, no, there's too many freaks come out down there. They all come out of the woodwork
but
down
that's
there.
That's the fun.
Huh?
That's the fun.
Sure, I'll be down there. Who isn't down there?
Yeah, that's right. All right.
Dallas,
just
a curious question.
Uh-huh.
You're going to take this big trip.
Right.
What kind of proof do you know that it's actually there, period?
I know because I know.
Yeah, that's the answer you gave before. I know because I know.
And you know, too. You just have to remember.
I know, too?
Yes, you
no,
do.
I don't know about that.
What he's saying is you have genetic memory of something.
DNA
sort.
Memory. It's Jacob's Ladder. Once you accelerate it, you'll remember a lot.
So if you just let it flow, madame.
Exactly.
I do that on a daily basis.
Well, keep doing research.
It doesn't flow quite that well.
Do you have contact with spirit beings?
Excuse me?
Do you have contact with spirit guides and spirit beings?
Yes, do you?
I have contact, not personally, no.
Well, once you get to that dimension, they'll open up more.
So, but you have friends that have this sort of contact?
Yeah. They take drugs, though. No. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Dallas,
no.
It's a reasonable, perhaps, assumption that, Dallas, you don't do drugs, do you?
I don't. Back in the days before I woke up, I experimented and did everything an average kid will do.
Well, you did everything?
I experimented. I did. I opened my mind.
Okay, well, there you are.
I did peyote and stuff like that.
Okay, there he did
How
everything.
How old are you?
31.
He's 31, and he's done everything.
I'm 31, and I've done everything, too. But,
exactly. We ought to meet sometime for coffee.
No, that's okay. I don't think my husband would like that too much.
You'll have to fight with Lisa.
Huh?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well,
thank you, Art. Nice to talk to you.
You're very welcome.
Hey, Art, can I say something really fast?
Well, you may, but Dallas, isn't it possible, barely possible, that you said you virtually consumed the pharmacy? So,
all shamans in medicine.
I understand, but I mean, isn't it possible that pharmaceutical prolonged experience?
I'm actually considered a star child or an indigo.
Yeah.
Some have said I'm a walk-in. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm looking into it. I'm just awake. I have got 4.0 grade average psychology in college.
You know what? I believe that.
Yeah, and my dad's a genius. He's a mathematic wizard. I'm just a really smart guy.
I actually do believe that. You got it. You 4.0.
Yeah. That's when I actually, all my tapes are on audio tape, by the way, all my books were.
Where did you go to school?
It was like Folsom Lake College.
Uh-huh. With a 4.0.
Yep.
I actually believe that, Dallas. Wild card line, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello.
This is Mark in Bradley, Illinois, and I'm listening to you through 890 AM WLS in Chicago.
Oh, WLS. Yes, sir.
Yes. May 24th. 2003, I can't help but think your guests must be thinking that he wants to do this before Planet X takes place.
Yeah, that's probably a safe call.
Yeah, Planet X, the shift in general. I just it's not that I'll sit in a lawn chair in the middle of it. I just want to guide some people that have a lot to offer to some safe spots to make sure that we have some star children that make it through the shift. People have said I'm Indigo, and that's a possibility too.
Have you talked with Mark Hazelwood?
I belong to one of his groups. I've talked to the guy. I'm aware of his thought, and he's real serious about his project.
When
and
Mark Hazelwood heard what you had to say, how did he react?
He actually, it took him to a deeper level of thought, realizing, wait a minute, I exposed my research as a Hollow Earth. I've looked into Planet X and Wormwood for a couple years now, and once we met, it was actually refreshing to meet someone that's been researching and,
who understands you.
Yeah, that understands me. And there's a lot of people like there out there like me. You know, and that's why I say I get thousands of email from your show.
Caller, would you say that you're one of the people that understands Dallas?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I've been making copies of that show and giving them to friends.
The Hazelwood show?
The
Hazelwood show, you mean?
Oh, yes. It's the Wednesday, Thursday, January 16th and 17th of 2002.
Yeah, you got it down, all right. So as a result of that, you understand what Dallas is all about, why he's doing it, when he's doing it.
Yes.
Well, there you are, Dallas.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that agree with me.
Obviously.
Can I say something real quick, Art?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm getting thousands of email from all the world, and I apologize I can't get back to everyone in time.
Well, where do people send you email?
Okay, they can go to cosmicmanuscript.com.
Yeah.
That's actually my book. I'm really excited. I wrote a book.
Yeah,
it's not
you
about
did.
Hollow Earth.
Oh, you wrote a book?
Yes, I wrote a bestseller, by the way.
What is it?
Cosmic Manuscript. It's in Amazon, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, all over the world.
Dallas, you really?
Yeah, it's
you
amazing.
Are an amazing person, Dallas.
Yeah, this book is amazing. People say they just hold it and feel energy and vibration.
And it's gone up to a bestseller.
Yes. It's amazing. It talks about barefoot connections. It's basically an instruction, kind of a key to enlightenment. And it's an experience. It's not just a book.
No, the fact that it's out there and it's a bestseller is a comment on society as a whole. That's remarkable.
I wish you'd read it, Art.
Uh-huh.
I really do.
Well, I'll give it some attention.
You have a better understanding of what I'm speaking about.
Right. It's remarkable. I mean, a bestseller. So,
yep.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you, sir.
Maybe they're going to eventually make your life into a movie.
That's what I'm hoping. And,
that's
why I bring this up. The movie producer that called earlier,
yes.
Anybody interested, go to cosmicmanuscript.com and just email the author, and I'll get it. And I want to keep contact. Also, we have a Yahoo group, Cosmic Manuscript and Yahoo group. They can join from cosmicmanuscript.com.
All right, well, you keep giving that web address, which is fine, but you must have an actual email address, right?
Yeah, it's author@cosmicmanuscript.com.
Author?
Yes.
A-U-T-H-O-R.
Uh-huh.
@cosmicmanuscript.com.
Correct.
Well, you definitely will get a lot of email.
I have been, and
now,
I'm excited.
If I'm asking you to be brutally honest with me, Dallas, of the gazillions of emails you said you get, how many would you say are supportive versus those who are not supportive?
I'd say 95% are supportive.
Are they?
I actually did a radio interview I'd like to touch on. It was so effective.
Uh-huh.
And it basically, time stopped. They're still mesmerized. It was Mark and Brian. And I actually had people showing up at my family's door in groups, leaving notes and bombarding with phone calls because they wanted to.
And what
to,
did they mostly want?
They wanted to be a part of the project.
You mean to actually perhaps
participate, like maybe with technical or, whatever their expertise would be, they would participate. And that's why I urge people to contact us and contact me, and I will get back with you. If it's not timely, it's because I'm overwhelmed with email, but I will personally email everyone back.
Well, as dangerous as this potentially is, should you really be involving others in it? I mean,
well if they're just going to do technical, like lights and, wiring so we can go mobile on the Internet, if they have an expertise that fits in, they're more than welcome to join. Now, if they want to actually, get a solo trek and traverse the hole, which I've actually had people
wanting to do that,
yeah. Which is amazing.
Uh-huh.
That we can try work on something in that aspect as well. I don't mind going with
so
someone.
It could be like a whole gaggle of people descending.
Maybe I could find some beautiful blonde that would like to fly down there with me or something. But You never know.
You're probably pushing it now.
I can always hope.
Although blondes.
I heard they're going extinct, but it was actually a joke.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello.
Hi there, Art and Dallas.
Hello there.
I'm in Oswego, Kansas, and I just wanted to throw something out and then give my question.
Okay.
In the 1920s, we had an Arctic explorer here. I forgot his name, though, but I don't know if you've ever read Max McCoy's book, Indiana Jones and the Hollow Earth.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have that link on my Hollow Earth website.
I hope
they make a Hollow Earth movie. That'd be awesome.
Huh. He wrote about Oswego and this Arctic explorer, and that's why I was interested in tonight's program.
Yep, I am very familiar with it.
My question was, you write about Nephilim on your website,
Nephilim?
Giants of the Old,
mm-hmm.
About in the Bible and like Hollow Earth.
Right.
And, well, it says on there how they begat with human women.
First time callers, area code 775-727-1222.
And I was wondering if you believe they're any present day in Hollow Earth, or what the correlation between Hollow Earth and Nephilim, as they call it.
I don't know if we need quite that graphic a description.
Yeah, well, there are giants, and they do live in caverns and caves and in the hollow geode portion. That is a fact. As far as 40 foot tall, I don't claim, you know, the exact height, but I would say, you know, a good 12-20 feet tall or more is
so
a possibility.
You are prepared to meet creatures of this magnitude.
Yeah, I love humanity so much, I'm willing to take the step to help us accelerate into the dimensions, because we're shifting in the fourth or fifth dimension, if we like it or not.
Well, aren't you worried they will accelerate you like Pow Zoom to the moon?
It's a possibility, but like I said, I've already had contact with these tribes. You know, it's not the first time.
Okay. First-time caller line, you are now on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello. Turn your radio off, please. Turn it off. Got to turn
Hello?
It off. All right, yes, you're on the air.
Okay.
Yes, turn your radio off.
I'm in the other room.
Very good. Hi. Very good. Very good. What is your first name?
David.
David, do you have a question for Dallas?
Yes, I have.
Fire away.
I wanted to know to what extent he thought that the things he's talking about may have inspired Edgar Rice Burroughs' Pellucidar series about the inside of the Earth.
I think there's cosmic consciousness that we can all tap, and it's a frequency and vibration that is floating about. And I have managed to tap it, and it flows through me. And a lot of artists and poem writers and novelists have tapped the same frequency and vibration, and that's where genius or greatness can inspire millions in people. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that he just tapped pretty much almost the same exact source I have.
Okay. So you don't think that Burroughs got this from somewhere else? You think that it was his own notion?
I think that the information's been construed all through the cycles, but he basically could have had hands-on.
All right, on that note, we've got a break, which we're going to do right now. We'll be right back with Dallas Thompson, who's going down there.
Don't know what it is that makes me love you so.
in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Does a little talk of the fiery sewage pits of hell scare Dallas Thompson? No. He doesn't fear the Reaper. He's going down into a hole at the North Pole, going to descend into the bowels of the earth and meet with whatever's there. Dimensional beings, dinosaurs, lizard people, you name it, he's on his way. In May, as a matter of fact. We'll be right back. Well, once again, here is our guest, Dallas Thompson. Dallas, welcome back. We're in the stretch run here, Dallas.
Okay, I wanted to say real quick, I had some really professional editors in the industry. People think, you know, known I'm legally blind, that I think dearly that edited my book and helped me with the Chicago style and made it into a masterpiece.
Right. Right, you are. I was worried about your vision with the flying thing, but...
Actually, I have better vision than I've ever had. And I do take Nani, by the way, which helps a lot, which is from my kahuna, which is the root, and that does wonders for you. I speak about healing herbs. Everything I share tonight and much more in my book, and I do recommend it just because it is a key to enlightenment, like I say, and it basically will help the transformation basically go more smoothly.
Well, you know, Dallas, I have a lot of new age type people who have spoken on the show about what they call a transition. Oh, gee, they call it a transition, and they speak about it as though it's going to be all light and wonderful. And,
oh, it's
going to
be terrible.
Most of the people on Earth, when you really press these folks, are going to die.
Have third or more.
A third or more. Yeah,
that's why I'm doing everything I can to
see, five,
get the 6 billion
people. That's, you know, like 2 billion people are going to die at the very least. That's a lot of
It's a lot
souls to be shooting up at once.
And we got to make sure that the ones that were awake are saved, so they can transfer the frequencies and DNA into the next generation.
Very good point, Dallas. Hold on. Let's continue. First time caller line. You're on the air with Dallas Thompson.
Hi, Art.
Hello there. Where are you?
I'm in Victorville. This is Nikki, and I'm listening to you on my XM radio.
Okay. Well, welcome.
Thank you. I hope that I don't lose you, but I just want to tell you that you are the bomb. I have been listening to you for years. I love you, and I was so devastated because I called the other night, and as soon as you said hi there and I started to say hi, your phones went out.
Don't remind me of that.
I was so heartbroken.
Yeah, don't remind me of that. I was heartbroken too. I was heartbroken for several days following that event. At any rate, you have a question, no doubt, for Dallas.
Yes, I do.
All right, proceed.
Mr. Dallas, I was wondering, since you have so much, you've gotten so much positive feedback from so many other people, why don't you just wait and get everybody that is interested in going with you, and like everybody could go?
That's a good point you make, and that's a possibility.
Save the planet, in other words.
Yes, this is coming to me unfolding as we go, so I'm doing my part, what I was told to do, so I know it's a positive thing. Basically, the things that are hidden are going to be seen. So you guys, the shift is already happening. That's why I was saying the insects.
You said shift, S-H-I-F-T,
yes,
right?
Okay. The pole shift. Uh-huh. We're going to be seeing insects that we never seen before. They've always been there. They just were in a lower vibration frequency. We're going to see animal.
How soon, Dallas?
Wait a minute.
How soon is the real shift going to hit the fan?
We are in the real shift.
We are now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's just, it started slow to kind of like so the people that are waking up.
Well, then maybe I should ask this. How far into it are we?
We're just getting toward the turbulence.
The fan.
Yes. Exactly.
All right. Anything else, dear?
No, that's all. I love you. I appreciate
the
show.
Why don't you email me, and we'll keep in contact, and maybe we can work something on that.
Okay, I'll try to do that.
All right. It's good talking to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Art. I love you.
Take care.
You got a lot of fans, Art.
Indeed. They're wonderful. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello.
Hey, Art. This is Chris.
Hello, Chris.
I'm driving westbound here on I-94, bouncing between KSTP and KFAB.
As long as you can hear us, yes.
Yeah. I had a question about, when you started asking some of the harder questions about what hard evidence he had, he said something about secret diaries.
Yeah, letters of Admiral Byrd's, yes.
Yeah, I was wondering how and where he got a hold of that.
You could type in Admiral Byrd's secret diaries in Google.
In Google?
And, I'm sure you can find a handful. Or I can personally email you some documentation.
No, he's asking where you got them. So did you got them on the internet?
I got them from some inside sources. That's basically what I'll say.
Not just something off the internet.
Exactly. I have satellite photos that'll blow your mind.
Okay.
They show the hole, by the way.
Show the hole?
Yeah, I was trying to get you to look at them, but you said my
Caller, do you believe that there's a hole at the North Pole into which you can descend into the Earth?
Well, as far as from what I've heard of Admiral Byrd, he may have seen something, but the whole interdimensional, that stuff there kind of throws the whole story.
Sir, can I ask you a question?
He thinks that's kind of off the edge, Dallas.
Hey, sir, do you think that there are beings, we're the only ones in the whole universe?
I've never said anything about that.
So there is life out there, and it's possible they're from other dimensions.
Well, that's one way, I suppose. I don't know. The whole interdimensional thing has always kind of thrown me for
a loop.
Yeah,
pretty much. And it's supposed to.
Okay. And then another comment for you, Art.
Yes.
I was wondering if maybe for a guest on Monday, Lisa might be interesting.
I think her dearly. She's a dear heart.
Yeah, Lisa's a dear heart. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson.
Hello. Thanks for letting me be here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
First of all, let's not crucify Lisa.
No. Oh, no. Lisa's a wonderful gal.
Okay. Wanted to say, I'd like to say to Dallas, I really appreciate you putting your information out there. I mean, you've been putting a lot of high stuff level information out there and putting it really fast, and hopefully the codes are getting out there.
Very quickly.
I appreciate that.
You got to listen very carefully because it does come fast.
It does come fast. It does come fast. But, you know, it's good. It's probably just popping here and there like it's supposed to. Second, I wanted to say, I'm not blonde, but I'm a professional actress. If you need any reporters to do play-by-plays, I'll email you my resume.
Hey, I'd appreciate that.
No problem.
I really would. I'll look forward to it. I'll keep my eye open. What's your name, by the way?
My name is Darlene. I'm in North Carolina.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out.
In North Carolina.
And then my question, this is my last thing. I don't want to tie you
Kevin,
up all night.
But Darlene, just one question. How would you like to be involved in the project? I mean, as a professional actress, how do you think you would fit in?
Well, you do play-by-play. Whenever you have these, let's explore the pyramids of Egypt, let's look at the new opening of the new tomb, there's always somebody there who's narrating what's going on a little bit.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Keeping the energy going when somebody's climbing down the tree, you got to talk.
So you'd be the beauty that would be on the ship, and as Dallas lifted off, you'd be describing the action.
Exactly.
And even before he lifted off, you'd be probably showing his vehicle that he's going to fly in.
Hopefully the cameraman could do that, but yes.
Well, I know, but you would be providing the color.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And then finally, my question for you, Dallas. I've heard you say you've seen the hole and you've checked it out with your inner guidance. I don't doubt that. My question is, the beings, have you been invited?
Have I been invited?
Yeah, invited.
The process that I'm ushering is part of the initiation or invite. I'm basically a spectator just turning the wheel so that everyone can amplify, and that's my mission.
Yeah, but her question is valid. I mean, you just don't knock on a door with screams like that.
They know I'm coming before I would come. They would know that.
Oh, I know. Yes, I believe absolutely.
So I feel I would be invited to visit. That's it.
Well, there you are.
Okay.
That's not exactly the same as getting an engraved invitation.
Right.
I would be invited to visit.
I plan on just visiting.
Like jail and Monopoly.
You talk of it like negative, but I do think there are slave races that basically could have good intent that they're just trapped.
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to some people, we were a slave race.
Right.
Mining gold, right?
Exactly. And even the Yeti is seen with coal on his fur. And that's suspicious. But
Might have been just a bad Christmas.
It could be.
West of the Rockies, you are on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello.
Hi, my name is Val.
Hi, Val.
And I'm from Oregon, and I'm going to have to make it quick because my battery's dying on my phone here.
Uh-oh.
My question is, I'm kind of confused on how you're going to be exploring an interdimensional inner Earth with a physical vehicle.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, once I traverse the hole, there'll be an electromagnetic bubble put around me that will navigate. Hello?
I think she's gone.
Yeah, she's gone.
Yeah, she's gone. She just wanted to pop the question. And
Okay. Yeah, once inside the hole, I'll have an electromagnetic bubble put around me as Admiral Byrd and be navigated, which is basically to keep impurities from me, our atmosphere that comes through, and the merging with their atmosphere.
Well, it's like you hope that's going to happen.
Well,
you can't know for absolute certain that's going to happen.
They greeted Admiral Byrd with open arms, so...
He really said all of that in his diary.
He did. And now, there's other explorers as well. He's not the only one.
And you have these secret diaries on your website.
I do. Also,
is it like you've got it in Byrd's handwriting, or do you have, like, a transcript?
I have the actual documentation.
Does that mean the actual handwriting of Byrd?
It's actually been... He handwritten one, and there's one that's typed. I have the one that's typed, and it's phenomenal. And there's a few other Hollow Earth researchers that have it.
Okay. That's remarkable stuff to
it
read.
Really is.
I mean, it's a great opportunity for the audience.
It really is. I'm looking to make some movies. Like I said, I ask all people to contact me. If my mail is full, just email me in a week or two and keep at it until you get hold of me.
Uh-huh.
And like I said... people can get to my website or book from your website.
Oh, yes.
Also, they can go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, any bookstore locally. Just ask the clerk. And CosmicManuscript.com, you can also go there. There's photos there. The book also has photos in it. And,
you've got documentation?
Yeah, and I have photos in the book, too.
Yeah, okay. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Yes, turn your radio off and proceed, sir. Where are you?
I'm in a truck stop. I'm a truck driver.
How are you doing tonight?
Figures you'd be in a truck stop. I mean, you know, what part of the world?
Well, I'm born in California right now.
California, okay. Anyway, you have a question?
Yeah, is this... I thought I was calling the Art Bell. Is this Art Bell?
Yes, yes. This is actually Art Bell, and you're actually on the air, so you should actually ask the question.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, man, this is hard to believe, Art. I've been listening to you ever since you was just on K-Don. Roy Masters was on just for you. Anyway,
it's a long time
ago. Get to the point.
Yes, please.
I lived on the bottom of Mount Shasta.
Yes, that's hollow, by the way. There's activity in there.
You better believe it.
Yes, there is.
I learned about the Lemurians and the Hollow Earth theory and the Atlantis and Antarctica and the inner sun and how they're probably going to come out around the year 2012 when the Mayan calendar runs out.
And 2012 could actually be 2003.
All right. Well, so in other words, Dallas, if you or somebody else doesn't go to them,
It'll come to us.
They're going to come to us.
Once we hit a frequency of vibration that merges. So what is that?
Comfortable thought. I mean, they're going to... I mean, we're talking lizard people. We're talking large-headed, cone-headed things that are going to come up out of the earth. I mean, a lot of people aren't going to like that.
Yeah, well, that's the future.
Yeah. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Dallas Thompson. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Oh, I'm on now?
Yes, you're on now.
Okay, thank you very much for taking my call. This is Todd in Dayton, Ohio.
Yes, Todd.
I'm a little bit of a skeptic here, I'm sure.
No, Todd, no. You don't buy all of this?
Well, if there would be a hole in the top of the Earth, would think that we would see it from satellite.
Dallas says we do, and he's got the photograph.
I do, and actually the commercial satellites have blockers in them, so when they get to a certain part, they're not allowed to...
You know what, actually, that's true. They do block some things out in satellite photos.
But I actually have some photos that made it through.
Really?
I would like to share them with you. Maybe
you can clearly see the hole.
And on different planets, too.
Okay. Okay. One other question. If we're going to be able to go to safe places, you're going to help us know where to go?
Yeah, that's my mission, is to save some tribes, save some bloodlines.
Okay. Now, is this going to be for people that are financially able to just pack up their families and put their jobs and go?
Good point.
It's going to be both. It'll be a transition. That's the movement, the momentum that I'm starting.
Don't you see it splitting families apart, though? I mean, like wives taking off and joining you, and the husband's going, hey, where'd she go?
Well, I don't see that as a problem, really. But
Art, it's not just that, but, you know, if I leave my job, I'm going to be fired. And
if you leave your job, a lot of necessary cargo is not going to make it to where it needs to go.
This is true.
But it could be a matter of him surviving, too. What's more important, your money or survival?
Well, it's one of these things
that if it doesn't come to be, just like, you know, they were saying that, what, the world was going to end 9 years ago and all the planets were aligned, or it was going to fall into the ocean.
If this
for some reason doesn't come to pass, who's going to be held responsible?
Yeah, Dallas.
So I'm not claiming, I haven't claimed.
Come back on you?
I have not claimed any dates, for one. I'm just bringing the whole...
But you are saying soon.
I'm saying soon. I see the pole shift coming really soon. California will be underwater.
And that's...
And it will be aqua. It will be like an aquarium, aqua water.
California will be underwater.
Yeah.
So many people are saying that.
Yeah.
Very worrisome.
So well, that will come to... That is a true prediction, and it will unfold.
Dallas.
Yeah.
We are out of time.
It's been great, Arbel.
I don't know how to find... the right words to express what it's meant to me to have you on tonight. So,
I appreciate that, Art.
I'll just, people will email you and they will express their views, I'm sure.
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure.
Good night, Dallas.
You too.
All right, that's it, folks, for me this week. Everybody have a good week from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. This is Crystal Gale.
Midnight in the desert. Shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride. Filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Desert, and we're listening. Ooh, we're listening to you.
you should hear that in its entirety. Beautiful Crystal Gale actually sang that for me. Well, folks, that's it. Dallas Thompson, the link's on my website. If you want to pursue this, if you're electrified, we've got the links up there right now. Follow Dallas as far as you dare. From the high desert, once again, I'm Art Bell. Good night. Good night.